If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Survivor South Africa Immunity Island. I'm your host, Shannon Gus, here with the fourth and final interview podcast for this preseason. We will have other preseason podcasts coming up, but this is the last podcast in a series I have so enjoyed doing. Absolutely loved every single second of it with the spoiler to my spoiler, my co-host, Mike Bloom. Mike, thank you for being here. I can't say what the things are because they're in an interview and you don't know what's in the interview yet and I don't want to spoil it.
Gotcha. So it's like the redacted to my redacted.
Yes, exactly. The redacted to my redacted. Hopefully I remember to tell you what it is by the end of the podcast. Otherwise, I feel like that
would
really
irritate
everyone.
Where I have to figure it out what it was.
I think you'll know. I think I have a good sense that you'll know when it comes up.
All right. Well, for right now, I am the ice cream loved one to your Mike Laws cannibal cat lawyer.
That would have been good, too. Maybe that's what this is. But for an upcoming interview, maybe two people are cannibal cat lawyers. And maybe two people want to eat their loved ones. You don't know.
That would make for an interesting brand steal, no matter what.
Yeah. Is that such a niche opinion? Would only one person in a cast want to eat their loved one? I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's the only time I've heard it in 20 years of Survivor. But hey, if we get two people saying it, then this really proves that this is quite the unique cast.
If we get two people saying it, maybe cancel the loved one's visit. Maybe we don't go there.
People already have food on their minds and they're not even in the game yet. This is not a good idea, Survivor.
Yeah, okay. Well, if you guys don't understand what we're talking about, it means you came into this podcast now instead of listening to the first three before it. And we have in-jokes we're going to build on again, guys. Go back. Can't explain it
more. Yeah. We had there 15 other Survivor contestants that we went through. Don't walk into a movie at the very end like I once did with Black Swan on a sorry New Year's Eve back in the day. Don't be like me in many ways. Listen to all the great interviews from these contestants because we are going to finish up the batch today.
Depending on when you walked into Black Swan, that must have been like that could have been really messed up.
It was literally the last five minutes where I will spoiler Black Swan for the next 30 seconds or so. So feel free to tune ahead if you have not seen or want to be able to see in some point in the future Darren Aronofsky's movie starring Natalie Portman. But it finishes with her dancing to Solo, right? And then she dies. So I walked in at the end because I went into the one next door instead of the theater I was supposed to go into and was like, wow, they're really starting on a big note here. And then the credits started and I was like, oh, no.
Wait. You were booked in to go to Black Swan, but you went to a previous screening?
Right, because you know how they show them next to each other. Oh. So I accidentally watched the last 15 minutes of Black Swan first.
That's so unfortunate. Did you go then watch the whole movie?
Yeah, I went into the next theater and I missed the first 15 minutes of Black Swan, you know, in the timeline.
What?
But at least I knew how it ended. It was a little bit of like in media res. I accidentally did like an entire flashback of, oh, how did we get here? Record scratch. Yep, that's me.
I would have not been so committed to Black Swan. Like, if I ruined it for myself so hard that I watched the last 5 minutes first and then missed the first 15 minutes, I would have gone home. Like,
I paid good money, Shannon. No. It was an evening showing on New Year's Eve. I'm not going to put $15 down the tube to waste on 15 minutes. That's $1 a minute for watching Black Swan.
Like, you ruined that experience for yourself. You should have just been out after that.
No, now I was curious. They had me roped in. I might have found the actual order you should watch Black Swan in.
I've got a lot on that story. Just so many thoughts swirling in my mind. But yes, if you are here and you haven't listened to the first three podcasts, you are Mike watching the last few minutes of Black Swan one time by accident. We can't spend too long on this, but I have so many questions. Weren't you like, where are the ads? Like, weren't you confused about...
No, I mean, I thought I missed, like, walked right in right when the movie was starting, you know? Like, oh, I was a few minutes late. And I was a few minutes late. I just didn't realize in one case I was several hours late.
Okay. Much like Black Swan, from my memory, you took a lot of leaps there.
Mm-hmm, exactly. and only a little bit of Mila Kunis rolls in the hay.
Okay, well, anyway, even this conversation about us building on previous jokes is an in-joke. We got jokes on jokes. Go back to the other three, come back to this. But we have the last five people in this cast to talk about. I'm really excited about it. I edited these interviews late at night, and I was often just like laughing to myself about some things that I knew you would enjoy. So I'm really excited for you to be on my page, and then we'll both be at the same level of knowledge of this cast.
All right, so for anyone who is Black Swanning it right now, just to review, Shannon and I wrote out questions to be sent to the contestants. They were asked of them, and the audio answers were recorded. What you're hearing right now is essentially their audio answers combined with Shannon and I asking the questions. At any point in time, if her or I want to stop down and talk about an answer, we're just going to say the magic word steers, and we'll pause and sort of talk things through, but that's how this is going to work as we finish off the contestants.
I'm going to miss steersing things. Like, I was thinking, do you think I could steers people in my life from now? Like, someone's telling me a story, and I'm like, steers? Wait, hold up. Like, you telling me the Black Swan story. You know, I walked in and saw the last 5 minutes. Steers? What in the actual hell, Mike?
Well, that doesn't even feel like a steers moment. There's not even a clarifying question. That's more of like an objection.
Yeah, well, most of all steers are objections. We could have probably just said objection.
Yeah, we're really lawyering this. I really do feel like Cannibal Cat Lawyer Mike Claus in this moment.
We are all the Cannibal Cat Lawyer, and that is the lesson from the first several minutes of this podcast. And if you haven't got a good idea that we are well in the weeds with this, now you do. But yeah, we have a lot of really fun people to talk about today. A little bit of inside Schmergenbrawl, just like some of the producers took this on a journey. You'll see.
Okay.
I also enjoy when the producers are like, say thanks to Shannon and Mike, and like, I'm like, did they think we were gonna tell people that we were like actually talking to them? Like, imagine if we try to pass this off as like, no, we actually had a conversation with them, but it was just like,
here's
so
our
robotic
live conversation with Pinty. Or maybe it's more so like a parent, you know, when a nice adult friend gives them like a candy bar or something in Halloween. It's like, what do you say? Thank you, Shannon and Mike, for the interview.
That's what it felt like a lot of the time. Some of that's more obvious. I would have liked if we tried to pretend we actually spoke to these people and then edited in, like, us laughing and reacting to things. I don't know if we could have pulled it off.
Yeah, or maybe it's, like, a fun game where they play the answers first, and then we have to come up with the questions in reverse that would have prompted those answers, you know?
Is that just Jeopardy, or...?
No, well, so it's an improv game where, like, you play a scene backwards. So, like, I know we keep coming back to this, but if Mike Laws says, I would love to have a man made of ice cream come out so I could eat him, the question would be like, what's one thing you'll never do in the game of Survivor?
Yeah, well, what's one thing you shouldn't tell anyone, even if you have those thoughts?
Yeah, exactly. Like that, it's a fun way to sort of reverse engineer it. But no, we have true blue questions here. They were not asked in the moment, and we are not pretending that they were.
Damn, at the end of this, I kind of wish we had done that. That sounds really fun.
Maybe next time for season, God help us, if we are able to do this for season 9, maybe we'll try that.
Honestly, based on the way a lot of this has gone and the fact that the nicknames we've given that do have to do with Cannibal Cat Lawyer, which again, we do keep coming back to because it's a lot. Maybe we're not getting this opportunity again, Mike. We should really relish this last one right now.
I'm willing to get into it. I'm ready to start digging into these final five.
No more Black Swan stories to just confuse us all.
No, I'll talk about it at the very end, so then it'll all make sense by the end.
Okay. Well, yes. First up, we do have Pinty. Her actual name is Nolene. They call her Pinty because she's pint-sized. Something she doesn't talk about in the interview, and I was confused about it, but it is in her bio that is why.
Do we know her exact height?
So she says, growing up and to this day, my family call me pint-sized or Pinty, which has become the name I'm known by. Yeah, pint-sized.
Okay, but is she short, or was it a thing where, like, oh, I still call my son small fry, even though he's 6'7".
Yeah, or maybe it's ironic. Like, she never actually says that she's short. She just says they call her pint size or pinty. Maybe it's funny because she's not short.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's Rob had that confusion right during Survivor Edge of Extinction when he found out that Big Wendy was actually not a big person. He got very befuddled by that. Maybe that's the case with pinty here.
Yeah, we don't know. And I think in the image we have of her, she's sitting down. Right. So we have no trees
to compare it to.
Yeah. I mean, we could watch much of the video content, which I will do after this, and then we'll know. We'll also see her on Survivor. That'll be an important thing.
We will also see her on Survivor.
Yeah, so...
That's why we're here.
It's hard to remember that these guys are actually going to be on the show. Anyway, we're getting to it. Nolene/Pinty, she's 30, she's from Cape Town. Let's get into our first interview. Tell us about yourself. Your name, age, and occupation.
Hi, my name is Nolene, otherwise known as Pinty. I'm 29 years old, originally from the Eastern Cape, but I live in Cape Town. I do a variety of things occupationally. I'd like to think of myself as a janitor of all trades. I've worked in agriculture. I'm a dive master. I've worked in hospitality. I've worked in tech. And I'm now recently getting involved with an STCW course, which will allow me to work on boats or yachts.
Steers. All right, so that is an entire resume.
Yeah, she's a janitor of all trades. She's a slashy. She's a slashy.
She's a Janet of all trades.
Yeah, like jack of all trades, but you know, inclusive for women.
Right. Okay. I thought she said initially a janitor of all trades.
She probably has been a janitor. She's the ultimate slashy.
I can clean the dust. I can clean the soap. I can do it all as a janitor of all trades.
You know what we have here? We have a slashy off between Anesu and Pinty, who is the slashiest, who can slash the most.
Yeah, I mean, who's the slashy slasher, as it were? I mean, Pinty at least gave off a pretty... I think Anesu probably has the more, like, impressive resume, but I think Pinty has quantity over quality, right? What did she mention?
She works on boats. Hers is impressive.
She was a dive master.
Yeah, that's impressive.
I mean, Anesu was a doctor.
Right. Okay. Well, Pinty's seems very eclectic. It's like, I don't know how you got from one thing to the other. Whereas, like, Anesu's, we heard the whole journey. It's all, like, goes in one single direction. Like, she was a doctor, and then, like, that lifestyle wasn't for her, and everything has kind of flowed on in quite a natural way, literally in a natural way. Whereas Pinty's, like, it sounds like it's kind of gone everywhere. I'm excited to find out how and why.
Does she give her story a la Anesu in this, or do we have to fill in the blanks with the Pinty tale?
Now, we're filling in the blanks quite a bit more than Anesu's, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you get from a dive master to working in tech, but if that makes you a janitor of all trades, so be it. Also, that makes me scared if she calls herself a janitor of all trades, considering how many people talked about the idol nullifier this season.
Oh, right. Yeah, that really... People did not care for Janet. They're all way too high on the nullifier. Why aren't they more upset by that?
Yeah, so Pinty, do not reveal that nickname anytime soon on the island.
Have you never heard Janet of all trades?
I've heard Jill of all trades. My mom's
Jill of all
also-
trades! You know what? It is Jill of all trades.
My mom's name is also Janet, so maybe I have like an odd affiliation with the name. But yeah, because it's usually Jack and Jill, right?
No. I've like, because in my mind, I'm like, no, I've definitely heard the female version of Jack of all trades. But no, I've never heard Janet. It's Jill of all trades, Jack and Jill. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That makes more sense than Janet of all trades. But I'll go for the originality here.
Yeah, no. Now that you've said it, I'm like, I've definitely heard the female version. I've heard Jill. Janitor of all trades, that's what we've taken it to. Also, 12 minutes into this on the first steers of the first question, I'm remembering what it's like where you ask me about the interviews before they happen. Like, Mike was so impatient, just get to it.
Listen, you redact all you want to, but I'm here to be petulant and ask, like, oh, will we get into this? Are we there yet?
You'll see it when it happens with me. We're experiencing it together. Just press play. Why are you here on Survivor?
I'm on Survivor because I can definitely do this. I think that my experience and sort of all of the traits that I have are ideal for the show. And I definitely think that I can win this thing. And mostly because I'd like to be an influence and a motivation for other women out there to discover themselves and to find their strengths and to go out of their comfort zones.
What's your fandom history with the show?
I can't exactly say how many seasons I've watched, but I could say that they're probably around 8 or 10. A mixture between the USA and South African one. My favorite, or one of my favorite contestants is Ben from season 36 of Survivor United States, and also Tom from season 5 Survivor.
No one asked for the season number. I just laughed that it was 0 for 2.
I mean, look, she's one off, but that is actually remarkably good for someone who's only seen 8 to 10 seasons of Survivor, right? When there's so many that exist. Wow, Pinty has a type that I did not expect.
Yeah, my favorite is the person who is belligerent and then upsets everyone, alienates everyone socially, is very much out on their own.
Also, preferably, they should be like, they should have facial hair, wear a hat.
Yes, be quite tall, I think, white male, and then they go on to improbably win and be ranked pretty low as winners. It is definitely a tie.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I did not expect that specifically. Maybe it's because when Pinty was like, oh, I want to be an inspiration to women, I'll be completely honest. I did not expect her to be like, these big alpha males, loud alpha males are the two that I like the most out of all these contestants I've watched.
Yeah, there's more on this, so I'll let her get to it within the interview. But yeah, I mean, if Tom's her favorite, at least she's going to be entertaining. I mean, Tom was nothing if not entertaining.
This makes me so happy. I never thought in any amount of coverage we would do, any person would ever say Tom Swartz was their favorite Survivor South Africa player. And Pinty defies expectations once more. Thank you, Pinty. You made the impossible possible right now.
Let's hear more about this.
And I commend all the contestants that have participated on Survivor, because I think that it's an awesome social experiment. It's really hard. And it takes a lot of courage and bravery. And I actually commend all of the contestants. So I can't say specifically which fandom or which contestant is better than the other.
What's one life experience that has prepared you for Survivor?
One life experience. I have many, but I can definitely say that when I was 18, I walked from Prinsloo to Coffee Bay, a 12-day hike with bare necessities. And I definitely can say that life experience was a milestone.
Steers. Was she tailing Nicole's high school group as they were going through the mountains?
I mean, at least she sounds like an adult. It sounds like it was voluntary, and it was less than half the time of Nicole's school. And even that sounds like, obviously, a lot. But I'm sorry, Pointy, you're coming in after we've heard about some pretty terrible things happening to teenagers.
So I obviously don't know the geography. Is that like a formidable distance that would necessitate a 12-day hike?
Oh, I have no idea, Mike. Why, I don't know. I didn't Google Maps this.
An infinitely more experience in the country of South Africa than I do, Shannon.
Right, but you know I left when I was 8 and that I struggle with my status as an immigrant and that I don't understand my own identity. Why would you ask me this?
But it's an innocent question.
Google Maps it. What am I to you? Well, stop asking me things I don't know.
I don't know that you don't know. That's the thing.
Okay,
that's
no more asking me things. You listen to the interview and you enjoy what you have.
All right, I will not ask you any more questions. That's a guarantee.
Never again in the podcast.
And it has prepared me for many, many adventures in my life to date.
How do you feel you will be perceived on Survivor?
The way that I would like to be perceived on Survivor is someone that's trustworthy, someone that shows respect and helpfulness to the other players. And it's going to be really tough to go through with that all the way because, you know, it is Survivor. I want to be seen as someone who is deceptive or betrayed other players because they've had to.
What Survivor player are you most like?
I'd say that I probably would like to be most like Ben and Tom.
Steers. Okay, so they're not just her favorite. They're not just who she would be most like, but she specifically says she'd like to be most like Tom. We already had 80 saying she'd like to be or try to be most like Nicole. Aim higher, ladies. I have to say it again. Guys, really? Tom and Nicole?
Those guys have $1 million and 1 million Rand between them. Is she aspiring to Tom in that, like, does she have the Tom Swartz cat calendar up on her wall?
Did you just ask me a question? I swear to God, Mike, what did I just say?
This is rhetorical.
Okay.
I'm obviously not asking if you know about the interior decorating in Pinty's house.
I'm surprised you don't think I do. I think I know everything.
Yeah, well, I would not be surprised if, like, She was front row center during the Tom PK boxing match. She just follows everything that Tom does.
Well, she does seem like a Tom Schwartz super fan. The one and only. No, we were fans. But
remember when Tom boxed PK?
Oh, I was going to say, like, as such a fan, he's done so many things, but she should definitely get her hands on that cat calendar.
I mean, I'm at this point, it's a relic, too. Like, it might be tougher to come by than you might think.
I have the photo saved on my phone if anyone wants to see what we're talking about. It's Tom and a bunch of cats, possibly cannibal cats, although that's not happening in the images.
Oh, yeah. Is that how Mike Law's gone into the show? He's actually in one of those pictures.
Yeah, he's the one on his shoulder, and he's like, hey, can you help me get cast on Survivor? It is... I don't know if I'm being hyperbolic here. I mean, I definitely am. It might be my favorite thing that's ever come out of Survivor in any global franchise.
I mean, it is absolutely bananas. And up to this point, like, we were actually getting a Big Brother US versus Big Brother Canada boxing match, boxing bouts coming up very soon. But before that, there really hadn't been any sort of venue of let's watch these reality stars kick the crap out of each other. But it's also amazing because this was like a threat on the show that actually conceptualized and manifested into a real life event. PK said, I'm going to beat your old white ass to Tom. And then he ended up doing so. Oh, no, I do believe that it was Tom that beat PK, was it not?
I mean, I don't remember what happened in that boxing match. I was saying that the calendar is my favorite thing to come out of it. I'm more of a pacifist myself. But look, we almost did podcasts on both of these events. Tom's whole winner tour was a lot. It was a lot of car dealerships and boxing PK, and there were cats involved.
Yeah, there was a lot going on in the summer of 2018 for many reasons. But I want to jump back into the interview. I'm really eager as to hear why Pinty feels like she is not only wants to be, but is like Tom and Ben.
Were you about to ask me if that's what she was going to say, but then you thought better of it?
I've been disallowed to do so.
Yeah.
Maybe like Rob. I'd like to be able to know what's happening in the game before it happens. And that was Rob's, you know, best play, that he knew what was going to happen before it happened. But yeah, that combination for me is the kind of player I'd be like to be seen as.
What do you desire in an alliance partner?
What I desire in an alliance is honesty and truth, respect. Yeah, that's all I desire, and I'll take care of the rest.
She never gave any context for why Ben and Tom, other than them just being her favorite players. Difficult winning games to try and emulate, I would say. Like, to get really far out into a, you know, what we called an unwinnable position for Tom, we incorrectly called an unwinnable position, and then to win in the most difficult of circumstances, to thread a needle that, again, we thought was impossible. I mean, like, if she can do it in that way, after calling her shot, I would be impressed.
I love the shot calling, specifically her saying, like, oh, you'll see the rest. I'll take care of it. You don't need to worry about this.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. If she does it, I will again, eat a snake. Another in-joke, go back to the other three. Yeah.
Moral or ethical line for you in Survivor?
The line for me on Survivor, I would like to be, you know, I'd like to be ethically orientated, trustworthy. There are a few lines. I can't just choose one. You know, in order to be sort of a molecule or a organism, you have to have atoms. So, you know, I can't just choose one, you know, thing. So I'd like to be ethical. I'd like to be trustworthy. I have a lot of morals, but I can't play this game with all those things in mind. There will come a time where I'll have to put aside those beliefs and, you know, to go against those beliefs. And, you know, ultimately that's how I will progress in the game, is going against certain things that I believe in. So, yes, the baseline and the outline of the kind of person that I want to be on Survivor, or, you know, the kind of way that I want to play, are authenticity, are trustworthiness, are, you know, certain morals towards certain people, having a respect. But ultimately, I will not be able to uphold those, you know, beliefs and those traits, because it is Survivor, and Survivor is very tricky.
Cheers. I mean, she blew my mind with to be a molecule, you have to be made up of a lot of atoms.
Yeah, that's scientifically correct. I'm now asking you. I don't know. It is, right?
Yes, a molecule is made up of several atoms. Okay. I mean, I guess she. I think what she's basically saying is she has to be multifaceted. She cannot commit to being one specific type of person. Though I will make a note that she has mentioned multiple times in this interview that she wants to be trustworthy, which makes sense, obviously, from a gameplay perspective. You want people to trust you. But I'm wondering, and maybe this is me possibly projecting, if the number of times she's mentioning it makes me feel like she is also going to be sort of like loyal to the soil, trustworthy as well, right? If trustworthiness is so important to her.
I picked up on two parts of that as well, where like there's a trustworthy part and I'm like, why do people do this to themselves? Like, why set objectives on yourself that don't exist and Survivor's already so hard to play? But again, you have to be who you authentically are, and if that's something that's important to her, she naturally will be that way, so no point in fighting it. And the other thing is, you said she wants to be trustworthy, and something I feel is like a running theme in this interview is like, what do you like? Or what do you, and she'll be like, I want to be like this. And I don't know what that speaks to, if it's maybe just like a sense of just being realistically aspirational instead of being like, I'm definitely going to, again, like even saying I want to be like Ben and Tom, like, you know what? Pinty, I have faith that you could be if you want to be. It's not that hard a game to play. It's a hard game to win. But there are things you could do there where you don't have to want to be it. You could actually be it. So I think there's like a sense of maybe just holding back a little bit and being like, I don't know if I can say I will do this, but like it's in my, you know, ideally I would try to do it, or I want to do it.
I mean, it's another interesting comparison as well to Ben and Tom, right? We're not necessarily... they were not capable of betraying people, but I feel like Ben certainly, right, had a little bit of duplicity going on, but his large thing was, okay, you know, I'm the hero guy for the pre-merge, I'm really loyal to a group of people, and then everyone turned on me and I was sort of fighting with my back against the wall. And you know, Tom joins up with Werner at the merge and does stay loyal to him right up until the final four. So maybe it's like she's cherry picking parts of those two guys' games, which is another reason why she aspires to be like them.
Yeah, I mean, they were almost loyal, especially Tom, like to their own detriment at a point. I mean, Tom then eventually does turn on Werner, but the whole time he was very much in that like loyalty sense and that sense of betrayal that he would have from other people. Like, he took it hard. So maybe that's where she's connecting with them, or that like be trustworthy and have that really run through the game. And if you can't, and if other people don't treat you in that way, like it's a big deal.
Yeah, exactly. And then if that happens, then pull out that other atom and you can cut people if you need to.
That actually was a really good encapsulation of Tom's game.
Yeah. All right. Let's hear some more from the molecule.
Would you rather be voted out pre-merge or get zero votes at the final tribal council?
I would rather take it all the way, huh? Zero votes, cause me. You know what? Like, liquor, I got there. That's fine. But yeah, pre-merge, no. People won't remember me. I want to be remembered. I want to be someone that stands out on Survivor. I can't imagine that I'm going to get zero votes if I do make it to Final Tribal Council. But, you know, I'm going to play a kick-ass game. I'm definitely going to make it to Merge. And then once Merge happens, I know that it's every man for himself. And I hope to make it to the Final Tribal Council. Yeah. Definitely not get zero votes.
Yeah, a running theme in these interviews with this question that people are like, I'd rather go to the end and get zero votes because I just wouldn't get zero votes. It's like, yeah, but in this situation, you would. That's like saying, would you rather have arms for legs or legs for arms? And it's being like, well, I would rather have arms for legs because I just can't imagine that would happen. Like, in this situation, if this would you rather we gave you, you're getting zero votes. Also, I wanted to say, maybe she's called Pinty because she's a molecule. Sorry for being late on that, but ooh, I still wanted to get it in.
Topic. Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I feel like not since Chappies have we had someone so ardently call their shots. You know, Chappies was the one that was like, you're looking at the newest winner. This is what I'm going to do.
Chappies
and here comes Pinty. Maybe it's the ease at the end coming through saying, oh, I'm definitely going to make the merge. Once that happens, I'm going to make it to the end. And no way am I getting zero votes. I'm going to at least get a few. Obviously, those predictions will probably not come true, or there'll be complications to make those predictions come true in the end. But I just find it interesting because I feel like besides those two, we haven't had, as much as we talked about maybe the overwhelming braggadocio in that first group of guys, we haven't had too many people outwardly state, I'm making it to this point in the game besides these two.
Yeah, I mean, and I admire the confidence. Like, why go in to the show, which many are, and I would, anxious and doubting yourself. Like, you're your biggest supporter. You only have yourself. Go in backing yourself.
And also, like, the one of the reasons why you got cast, right, is because you have this type A personality and you think highly of yourself. Might as well show that off. Make some fun for the cameras or for the podcast, as it were.
Yeah, and if it goes poorly, then you fall on your butt. So that's what you give to people.
Perfect.
What will be the strongest component of your game? Physical, social, or strategic?
The biggest component of my game. You know, like, this is something I've thought about often, and this is where sort of the adaptability and the flexibility part comes in. Initially, I wanted to play sort of a strategic and strength game. But I think that because I have a very good social way about me, I might incorporate that and sort of a little pinch of this, a little pinch of that, a little pinch of strength, a little pinch of social, a little pinch of strategic. And also just to understand, you know, who the other contestants are and to read that and use that to my advantage, to understand who I'm playing with and who I'm playing against. And really then just take it from there. But I think that as a baseline, using my social strength, using my physical strength, strategy, because I'm such an honest person, because I'm very moral driven, has never been my strong suit. So I think that's something that, you know, I will discover within myself throughout the game. I can't say that my strategic, you know, senses or my strategic traits are strong at this point, because in normal life I've never been a strategic person in that sense.
Cheers. Okay, that's really interesting. I think that's a very intriguing element of her personality in contrast to others. We talked about this last time with Paul, right, how we found it interesting that, like, his maybe lack of fandom compared to others is going to make for a very unique dynamic. And I feel like Pinty's going to have one here. I feel like Pinty is one of the rare people so far who has said, like, I'm not incredibly strategic of a person. And that is all well and good, because one of the reasons why we asked that question is because Survivor is not a purely strategic game. You're not just playing with chess pieces on a chessboard. There's a human element involved. But I find it unique. As much as we talked about her talking herself up, she outright says, I don't think I'm a very strategic person.
Well, she does start by saying, I was going to be physically and strategically strong, and now I'm just hoping to be all three. So I thought that was pretty confident, but then obviously goes back on that to talk about not being a strategic person in life and hopefully finding it in the game. I feel like most people are not strategic people in life, because what is that? Like, I feel like I maybe am because of Survivor that helps me see all situations in that way, and it's not a good thing. I think most people don't think about life, hopefully, strategically. Like, that's not how we should be. I know many of the people listening to this probably do, because they're the same as us and Survivor seeps into things, but I don't know if we should be approaching our interactions from a strategic-based point.
Well, I think it's more of an occupational thing, right? Like, I know that a lot of these people, your lawyers and your entrepreneurs, really came in here saying, oh, yeah, I deal with all this stuff in my life, business partners cutting me out, having to negotiate the courtroom. Especially, yeah. So I think there are certainly parts of your job that might do it, which is interesting considering that Pinty has worked about half a dozen jobs, it seems, and none of them seem to be particularly, like, utilizing strategy on that level from a day-to-day basis. So maybe that's also another thing, is that she just feels like that's not her because she hasn't had to experience that so far in her job.
I don't know. I don't know if you have to be strategic on yachts. I've never been on a yacht. I don't know if that's a thing, but...
Yeah, I mean, you have to learn when to drop the anchor.
Do you?
You have to drop the anchor at an important point in time.
I'm so appreciating how you really just aren't asking me questions.
What if it falls on a whale?
What if, yeah. Okay, so not dropping anchors on whales is the strategy on yachts. I'm learning so much from you.
I mean, that's a lot like Survivor, right? You have to figure out when to implement the strategy at the right time. Otherwise, you're going to drop it on a whale and you're going to get screwed.
Although, I think she said she was training currently to be on yachts, so I think maybe she hasn't gone through that yet. So maybe that would have been helpful.
Probably dropped a couple anchors on some whales.
Listen to what you just said. The worst part about training to be on yachts is that so many whales lost the anchors. It's a charity cause that just doesn't get enough voice. We should lend our voice to it. Save the whales. Injured by anchors.
Save the whales from those poor anchors.
Save the whales from untrained yacht people dropping anchors by accident.
They're the true monstrosities.
I don't think there's anchors on yachts.
Well, then how do you stop it?
Electricity? I don't know how yachts work, and I'm finding that out on the podcast. Don't at me with how yachts work. I'm going to Google it after this, guys. So by the time you listen to it, I'm up to speed. I'm so sorry.
Man, I think, Pinty, please let us know how yachts work.
He also is only in training, Mike.
She knows much more than we do.
That's for damn sure. Certain. Everyone that's knows more than we do. We don't know about yachts. We don't know.
Okay, let's sorry. Keep going.
What's your favorite advantage in survivor history?
I would say that my favorite advantage in survivor history is having a secret vote. Yeah, having a secret vote and not telling anyone about it. And I'm voting twice. I think that that's beautiful. Amazing. An idol, sorry. That slipped right out of my brain. But an idol is like, it's something to be expected. It's like, that's, we know there are idols on Survivor, but people forget the other advantages. People forget about, you know, secret votes, advantages at tribal council. They forget about all the other little things that come into it. And I'd say that a secret vote is definitely something that I would like to obtain in this season of Survivor.
What food would you sit out of an immunity challenge for?
What food I would set out an immunity challenge for? A braai. A lekker braai. With ribeye and sausage and braaibroodjies. Alles daar op by grill. Lekker soos daai. And not a coal braai. Lekker firewood braai. That's exactly what I would like to an immunity challenge for, yeah.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be and why?
My superpower, if I could have any superpower, it's a very tricky question as well, but I think that I would like to heal and heal any illness or any ailment or any injury. And the reason why is to preserve life.
With one.
Cheers. Okay. I did not. You know, we talked about this with the last group of women of like, oh, it's very rare for someone to talk about their superpower to heal. But now we have two on this cast.
Yeah, Carla said it too. And it honestly just makes me feel so guilty that my superpower is so selfish that in the top 10, I would not have thought to heal people because I just really want to make my life easier for myself and just be able to teleport and do easy things like that. And these women are better people than me and they make me feel bad about myself.
But does that also inform Pinty's game, though, right? Like we were sort of implying earlier, if she is someone that wants to trust someone until the bitter end, she wants to heal them through the game, that's something that could keep her around as a loyal ally. Does she necessarily have those teeth to go back and make that kill after she heals them?
Yeah, she has a molecule with teeth that will adapt,
oh,
like
God,
Tom did.
That's a gruesome image.
Yeah. Also, it looks like yachts do have anchors. I Googled it.
Okay,
sorry,
there
guys.
We go. See?
Sorry for the misinformation. Save the whales. Okay? Save, the whales,
save the whales
from the anchors.
Those anchors.
One night until the game. What's on your mind?
One more night before the game starts. What is going through my mind? Oh, that is like a $1 million question right there. A lot is going through my mind. One of the things is that I hope that I will have the best time of my life. That's one of the things that's going through my mind. I know that I probably will have the best time of my life. And another thing going through my mind is that, where are we going? Like, where's my camp going to be? How's camp going to look like? And, yeah, I mean, there's 100 things going through my mind. And specifically, I can't say, but generally and just like out there, who are the contestants going to be? How is it going to be? What's the first challenge going to be? Yeah, it's, there's many things going through my mind. One more night before the game starts, I can't specifically say one thing.
I mean, Pinty is asking a lot of questions that many fans ask prior to the season in general.
Also, apologies notable that Pinty didn't get asked about her celebrity. That's going to be a blind item for the brand Steel that got skipped over. We're going to have to try and reach out to her and ask who that would be so we can have a full cast for the brand Steel.
I'm assuming it's going to be some sort of hybrid of Ben and Tom.
Yeah, we'll just assume it's Tom. She's talked about Tom enough. We're putting Tom in.
Oh my God, imagine Tom Swartz coming out for a loved one's visit.
Yeah, I mean, I watched him on the show, so I don't see how it would be that
different. But like, imagine him like as a non-player in the game, right? Like, would he still be as emotive as he was like, oh my God, a bride?
I'm just imagining him in the rewards eating, like, with his hands, just eating Mike's loved one with his hands. That's what I'm picturing.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But unfortunately, they got rid of that camera sponsor, right? Because now he can't come up with taglines for any more of the sponsors of the show.
I'm sure he'll find a way. Look, okay, so we've executive decided that her loved one will be Tom, unless she wants to clarify. But yes, that is Pinty. Thoughts overall?
Yeah, so Pinty... I'm intrigued by her claim that she feels like she's guaranteed to make the merge. Just because, I don't know, maybe it's because I haven't seen her, but I'm not sure what makes her feel like she's guaranteed to do that, specifically from a physical perspective. We talked about this with Inesu, that I think having not only a diverse background, but also having the gumption to change careers as much as you do really says a lot about you between your convictions. But also, I think your ability to hopefully connect with people on a number of levels. She's worked in so many fields that it seems like she can talk to anyone under the sun. I think my concern for her winning chances is, like we said before, if she's going to work with someone and really profess that trustworthiness, could she possibly go down with the ship in that regard,
the yacht? Yeah, no, you have to go yacht. Yeah.
That is my initial concern, but Tom was able to turn it around. Ben was able to turn it around. If Pinty wants to be like them, there's no telling that she can't turn it around either.
Yeah. Can she get down to the deepest depths and then get herself out of that? The depths of the anchor-filled, whale-filled ocean. That is the task she's setting for herself by trying to be like those players. But I think in terms of like calling a shot of making the merge, I don't know. Is she saying she'll definitely make the merge, or is that just like a really good approach to going into the game? Like manifesting it. What's the point of being like, who knows how I'll go? I'll probably do badly. Again, I would go in like that, but that would be bad. That's not the way to go into the game.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe it is just more so like I'm a pumping myself up thing. Remember that preseason perceptions often make no mark on the season. Like remember, for example, in the preseason of Survivor 28, everyone thought like, oh, Spencer Bledsoe, what a little cocky SOB. And then he immediately gets humbled and has like one of the biggest underdog stories in the show's history. So I think it also will be interesting to see how what she's applying to herself ends up applying in the game as well. But I'm also probably most excited to see what her height is, to see if the nickname is ironic or not.
Yeah, I forgot about that because it's been so long since we talked about her height. I think it's a molecule thing. I think we found it.
Yeah, exactly.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Yeah, well, now we're moving on to Keon, rhyme by accident. She's 35.
Oh, that's a great way to remember it. Move on to Keon.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. 35. She's from Cape Town. She was born in Taiwan. And she has a really fun energy that I enjoyed and also a really compelling story. So take it away, Keon.
Tell us about yourself, your name, age, and occupation.
Hi, my name is Keon. Occupation right now. Fun employed model and age 35, but please, that's my secret.
Steers.
Yeah, this isn't a private podcast.
At least she doesn't pull a Sean and just let out a big F-bomb while she's talking about her age.
Yeah, in hindsight, asking people to start with their age was traumatizing. We shouldn't have done it.
So Keon refers to herself as unemployed, which is interesting. Fun employed.
Yeah, no.
But I cannot think, Shannon, of the last time a Survivor contestant had their lower third as quote unquote fun employed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking of The Bachelor, where everyone has their lower third as a variation of unemployed. So
well, right. That's the thing, though, is that like everyone tries to to do something with that, right? Like they try to take some sort of spin on it. Even with the Bachelor, it's like, oh, chicken lover,
or former like child.
Loves,
yeah,
former child, exactly, twin. It feels twin. Like it's been a. It feels like it's been a. Yeah, they had that on the American season.
I'm no, I watched
twins
it.
Competing
I
for,
watched
Nick,
the
for Nick Vile.
Yeah,
but yeah, I feel like it's been such a long time since we have authentically had someone on the show whose lower third will probably say unemployed.
It'll say fun employed. Why do you keep taking this from her? She couldn't have been clearer.
I'm talking about 7/8 of the letters will be unemployed in that word.
Yeah, and 3 of them will be fun. No one else is fun in their lower third.
Yeah, that's true. But I know you said she has a great energy to her. I'm already feeling it from the top here. She just seems like a very bubbly persona, and that shit's my little secret is very fun. I hope she greets all of her castaways like that. I think that's a very fun starting line.
I'm sorry we couldn't keep that secret immediately because we are on a podcast that is the
sorry
the world. Yeah.
We have very loose lips.
Look, maybe no one's listening to this, Keon. Who knows?
Yeah, I think they ducked out after all the whale anchor talk.
Oh, no. They ducked out of Black Swan, Mike. I'm sorry. They never got to the whales.
They listened to the last 15 minutes first, and now they got very confused.
Once again, the whales not getting their due. Because we annoyed everyone out of the podcast before we could talk about them. Important cause, guys.
Why are you here on Survivor?
Wow. I've been following the show for a long time. Since high school, I've been watching the show on and off. And every single time I watch the actual show, I just want to crawl into the TV and be a part of the game. You know, so like this is a dream come true for me. Definitely an item on my bucket list ticked off.
Tell us more about your fandom history with the show.
Wow, geez. I think when USA first started the seasons in the year 2000, I started kind of, I think
Steve,
we were started after
1990. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Apologize.
Okay. We did it. Go back.
Yeah, I was like, should I make the joke? Should I make the joke?
No, I have to do it. We're doing something here, Mike, but we're building on things.
I've been a year later when they actually aired the first season. I've been roughly following since then. I have not seen every single season, but the recent ones, I think since season 35, I've been watching. And South Africa, one or two of the Australian ones, but it's been a while.
What one life experience has prepared you for the game?
I think there's been a lot. I spoke a tiny bit about my dad kind of moving to South Africa and my dad having been murdered here during a robbery in South Africa. I think that has affected me a lot as a human being growing up. It's shown me how to kind of like, you know, find myself and be resilient in this kind of climate and understanding human nature. I think that definitely have in part prepped me to be a part of a show, as well as the fact that I've taken myself out of the country, went to a city and a country that I do not know, which is Shanghai, China, because I'm from Taiwan, and I started a business from zero, having only one friend. So that was really a lot of hustling and a lot of kind of like having really thick skin, needing to just go out there and fight for my life. So yeah.
Cheers. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Two incredibly different life experiences.
Yeah, this question continues to be the most important question we ask because we get such a glimpse into their lives and their stories, and people have been really transparent with us as well and shared, again, these stories that just like knock you off your feet. And I know that I've been in your position where I'm listening to it for the first time live on air and you're like, you know, get the wind knocked out of you. So I'm sure you felt the same. That's what I felt editing it. I mean, that's, again, what most people hopefully in their lives will never go through. And she's had that experience of losing her dad in that way.
Yeah, my heart goes out to her. I mean, especially going out in such a way as well, essentially at the hands of another person, mm-hmm. like she says, that changes her for life. And I think mm-hmm. she has a really unique view on it, that like it teaches you a lot about human nature. I can imagine specifically it teaches you sort of the evils that we are capable of doing. And obviously, I am not going to draw immediate comparisons to the game of Survivor, but there often is a question there, too, of like, what will you do in pursuit of the title of sole survivor? And so I can imagine that she has sort of seen a bit of what people will do when they have motivations, even if it's at the expense of someone else. But then on the other side of things, you have this experience where she's essentially a stranger in a strange land, right? She starts an entire business in Shanghai, China by herself with no money and one friend.
Yeah, I don't know how that went. I mean, she's fun employed now, but I hope it went well for her in terms of...
I mean, don't they say like 95% of businesses fail in their first year or something?
Yeah, we'll have to find out what it is. You know, maybe we can support it like we support the whales. I'm happy to, you know, if she's still going with it, see what that is, and maybe we can get the podcast community behind it. But just in terms of like with her dad, like even the fact that she goes on to say kind of what that taught her is interesting to me. I can't imagine experiencing like an atrocity like that. I don't know if my first instinct would be to be like, this is what I've learned from it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd be like, I went through it. That happened to me and I'm dealing with it. And I think that would be a really valid way to deal with something that I can't imagine. But the fact that she would have like the introspection and resilience to be like, and this is what I take from it. And this is how like it informs my approach to life. Like that to me shows a lot of strength that I commend.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that, that's how I personally compartmentalize some things as well. And I you know, have not experienced anything nearly as tragic as what Kiana has gone through. But to me, when something bad happens, I try to sort of, in my weird rat brain, try to digest it in a way of, well, if something bad happens, it's a learning experience. Now you know not to do this or these types of things may happen. And I wonder if that's sort of her way of helping process those feelings as well. I agree it is odd, but I can see it and sympathize with it.
See, something you said, like, I pick up on that. Like, when you said, you know, it will inform maybe how you behave or that you won't do that again. I do the same thing when I feel maybe I've done the wrong thing. Like, I think about it, I'm like, well, now I won't do that thing again. So it's actually been, like, a, you know, at least somewhat constructive experience because it'll change the way I go about it in the future. I don't know if I would have that reaction if it was something that happened to me that I was blameless in, you know, like, then what can you take from it? You're a victim in that. But the fact that she can even have that and try to make something even a little bit constructive out of it and have it like inform her identity in hopefully positive ways and how she sees the world. Yeah, I just don't know if I'd have that strength. So I'd, yeah, cool answer.
Yeah, no, I admire her in many ways from what she's been so far. So I want to hear more.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel you will be perceived?
You know, there's been a few things that I did to kind of, should I say, deceive people, because obviously I've come here with my nails all done up. And, you know, in actual fact, in real life, when I go firefighting, my nails are a lot longer than what they are now. And they are all.
Stairs, wait, what? Did you just casually mention when I go firefighting?
Okay, yes. Also, no context will be given. It's fine that you asked me that question. I can answer it for you. I'm now starting to feel less, I don't know, aggressive towards you. What's the right word?
Oh, good. I'm glad we calmed down after the first one.
Yeah. Okay. I've calmed down. No. And then I'm like looking through a bio to try to find the firefighting, and it's not there. There's no other mention of this. It just dropped it in. Yeah.
Unless is that meant to be more so metaphorical? Like, oh, you know, it's almost like spilling the tea, lighting the fires, and fighting them. You know.
I don't know. Can we go back? It sounds like she's really firefighting.
All right, let's go back a little bit when she talks about her nails.
In actual fact, in real life, when I go firefighting, my nails are a lot longer than what they are.
No, she's really fighting some fires. I don't think that was like a metaphorical thing.
Oh, honey, Kian, you are not fun employed. You are a volunteer firefighter.
She's a slashy. She should have said slashy. She started her own business, and she's firefighting, and she's somewhat fun employed, flashy across the board.
Yeah, she said model in there as well. Like, yeah, she has her nails in a lot of different baskets right now.
but we're never going to hear about firefighting again. We're all just going to have to live with that of not knowing.
All right, we'll wait until the exit interview at some point in the season when we're finally going to get this question answered after many, many months.
Now, and they are always done. And after every fire, my nails are always still perfect. So I think people are going to think that I'm just this model girl who is bubbly, who is about appearances. And that is one of the things I'd like to kind of mislead people in. And hopefully it works.
Which Survivor player are you most like?
I think this is going to seem a bit too typical, but I think definitely Yule from the USA season.
Not typical whatsoever, despite the fact that one other person mentioned it in this season.
I'm loving the Yule love. Is it a Winners of War thing that's kind of put him back into some minds? Is it the fact that he offers such amazing representation?
I think so, considering that I believe in her bio, he's listed as the winner of Survivor Pearl Islands.
That might be the bio person's fault. I also noted that.
Survivor something islands, Pearl Islands. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, we've had a lot of incorrect season labeling on this podcast already, which is something we don't condone on a Survivor podcast. But anything that's put Yule back in, I mean, the fact that we've heard Yule twice in these interviews in the year 2021, it brings me joy. Yep.
We've heard Yule as many times as Tony from these contestants, which is wild to me in 2020.
Love it so much.
Obviously, he's Asian, but he is a very diplomatic and kind man. And the way he plays his games is he listens. He's someone who listens and he doesn't just easily take sides, and he is logical. And I like to be like him during the game. Yeah.
What are you looking for?
I also love that both Kieran and Kian, who said Yule, were both like, I don't know if I should even put myself on this level. I mean, I'd like to be. Like, we're giving Yule really the proper respect. It's great.
Well, I do find Kian's reasoning for it interesting, that she felt that Yule was very diplomatic. I mean, he was, right? Though I guess maybe by default, it was because Adam Gentry felt that he was the leader of the I2s. That's why he went to him specifically, said, oh, you have to get rid of Jonathan Penner in exchange for my jury vote, and he does. So Yule benefits from that. But that's an interesting facet to pull from Yule's game specifically, and for Kian specifically, because I don't know, she does not necessarily strike me as the Yule type.
Yeah.
But I think diplomacy can come in many different forms.
Yeah, like I even noted in her bio, so she says she wants to be like Yule. Next sentence, she packed her clear quartz crystal to help keep up her positive energy, as she knew that going into the game would be a trying time. I feel like that's not a Yule vibe, but I think she's like picking up on the parts of herself that she wants to use in the game to be like Yule, like the more logical parts. That obviously something like a crystal is more like spiritual and emotional, very different, the opposite of logical often. But she's trying to like bring out those parts of herself in the game, which is fair. That diplomacy, that logic is a great way to play the game if you could be like Yule.
I wouldn't want to bring my quartz crystal cocks into the game personally.
An alliance.
Definitely a fighting spirit. Someone who is a fighter. I think that is critical
Sorry, Tom Quartz, Crystal Cox. I know I'm delayed today. Okay, I know I'm a little bit behind, but I'm still wanting to get them in there.
I also said firefighting spirit after she said she wants a fighting spirit. So I think we were thinking more about the joke than Kian's answer. I apologize, Kian.
Was lost until the very last day, and hopefully someone who is loyal, who is going to fight for you as much as they fight for themselves. I think that is really, really important to have in someone who you are going to go with until the very end, and someone who is also encouraging. Yeah, because you need positive affirmations to last. How do I put this? Anyone who has a kind of like sound and logical mind, they still need encouragement to go even further. And I think that is really, really important in someone who is your alliance, your buddy going forward.
What is the moral or ethical line for you in Survivor?
Is there a line in Survivor? There's no line. I think you're pretty in a very surreal situation where you are out there to fight for your life to make sure that your fire does not go out. And in this game of Survivor, in order to make it out of 39 days, you got to do everything that it takes to get there. Whether it's cheating, stealing, manipulating, whatever, seducing people. And in terms of truth, right, you know, what is true in reality versus what's in a game is not necessarily the same. And it's the same on a personal level for myself. You know, my truth may bend, may twist, may change forms according to the situation that I'm in, the person that I'm dealing with, or a collective of people that I'm dealing with. So there isn't a line. There definitely isn't a line. And
It's Survivor. You're there to play it once, and that's it. You don't have a second opportunity. You got to do what you got to do.
Cheers. Do you think she's going to struggle when a lot of fires are around and she just has that urge to put them out?
I'm so glad you said that, because every time she said fight, like an alliance that'll fight for you, and then when she said fire, I also was thinking, we don't know, because we have no more context to the firefighting thing. We've had many other firefighters who seem to have dealt with the fact that not putting out fires, much like Sean releasing the chickens, they will be the first two boots. Don't do that, you'll go home. But I thought this answer was really interesting. It's so interesting to me the way that people interpret this question, because there is a line in Survivor. It just might not be a line that's relevant to talk about. Like, yes, there's a line. Don't do things that some people have done on the show before, some things that go beyond the game. Don't murder someone, even though, you know, lie, cheat, steal, and murder are those four things kind of,
of course,
packaged together. Like, there's a line. There definitely is, but it's maybe such a line that's beyond anything you would ever conceive of doing that it becomes an irrelevant line to talk about, because so many things you're deciding between are, like, backstabbing people and lying to people in the game, in which case, like, yeah, it is a game, there is no line. So I find it interesting the way people answer that.
Well, not only she follows that up, though, by talking about this concept of truth, right? How it seems like almost a greased pig that you can't really pin down, about how my truth might change day to day, but I'm still operating in the realm of my truth. It just might be different than your truth. I'm getting villain vibes.
Oh, really?
From Keon. And that's not to say something bad. I just think that if she is upfront saying basically, like, listen, I don't mind being duplicitous if my truth doesn't mesh with your truth. I don't know. I see it. I get very much like, especially when she talks about having someone playing with someone that, like, she can enjoy playing with. That gives me very much like Marion and Shane vibes a bit, where like they almost fed into each other's energies.
She's just so bubbly that it's hard for me to see that. But when she's talking about the truth, like a villain came to mind in Tony, like that was. That, to me, I feel like I've heard Tony say, yeah, like, when I told you I was with you, that was true to me at the time, and then it changed. Like, the way she was talking about, like, the nature of her truth changing based on, like, the time and the person she's talking to, that was a Tony answer to me. And also that she mentioned seduction. So, like, yeah, there might be some villainous stuff in there, but she's just, like, really fun. So it would be a fun villain.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think, it's not going to be, like, a personal moralizing
put out
villain.
The fires kind of thing, make people
I mean, she might, that's she'll be tempted to do that, but I do not think she wouldn't do anything vindictive, I don't think, but I also don't think she would be afraid to, like, manipulate to get what she wanted.
Depends how far she's in her firefighting training. You know, they teach you to put out fires, but do they teach you when to put out fires? That's the thing, and that's another cause we want to talk about, fires getting put out unjustly by trainee firefighters.
Yeah, some of those fires were just about to make their way to school. Some of them were right about to retire with their little fire wife.
Yeah, you never hear it from the side of the fire, do you? Nah.
Yeah, they have 15 grand sparks at home, and you just snuff that out.
Firefighters are the real villains here.
Exactly. That is what I'm saying all along.
Would you rather be voted out pre-merge or get zero votes in a final tribal council?
Pre-merge versus zero votes. I don't. Geez, that is a really difficult one. That is not fair. That is not fair. Oh, wow. You know, I'm going to take the latter. The reason being is that.
Steers, you take the ladder to climb up to the fire to put it out. Yes, I understand what you're talking about, Keon.
I love how much all of the contestants hate this question. We are torturing them even more than asking them their age.
What is wrong with you people? Thank you, Shannon and Mike, for asking me really bad questions.
I know, it goes from
angry.
This is such an unfair question to, like, thank you guys so much for having me. Literally, their parent producers told them to say that.
I'm confident enough in myself knowing that if I do get to final tribal council, I am going to have a really, really good story to tell. I am not going to leave my CV at 39 days with nothing much to tell.
What will be your biggest stress in the game?
Right, but in this, would you rather, you are getting zero votes.
That's not what the CV says, according to Keon.
Look. We asked the question. I don't know why everyone's interpreting it like I want to go to the end because I'd never get zero votes. It's just not at all what this was about.
Exactly. Like, okay, I accept this, but one caveat, I do not get zero votes. Yeah. If I choose that option.
Now the question is, would you rather go pre-merge or go to the end and get votes? And that's a very different question. Much easier.
Would you rather have pre-merge or win the game?
The hard one. Not.
Oh, you guys are unfair.
We're trying to be mean. We're trying, like, if it's too easy, then you've changed it too much.
Physical, social, or strategic?
You know, because I don't know what I'm playing against, so judging to myself, I guess it definitely has to be strategic, where obviously it's a social game. So we come here, well, hopefully, not everyone, so that is to my advantage. So hopefully, like, people are going to come into the game with their IQs and the AQs that I speak of, which is your adaptability quotient. You know, it'll be interesting to see how the other people play the games.
Steers, let's talk about this adaptability quotient thing. This is a unique metric.
Yeah, I've never heard of it. There's IQ, there's EQ. I know those two. This is AQ. Can we try and come up with what OQ and UQ would be? Put you on the spot with that.
Okay, UQ would be like underdog quotient. You know, like how much you have the capacity to be an underdog, or how much fight do you have when your back is up against the wall?
I like that. Did you want me to do OQ? I was going to give you both.
No, I mean, we can brainstorm OQ.
What starts with O?
Octopus.
You know what? I'm going to come to it in like 30 seconds. Not octopus. Move away from the marine life, Mike. Not octopus quotient.
How multifaceted are you? Are you able to work on as many things as an octopus with 8 arms?
How's that not adaptability quotient? She just spoke about that.
Well, no, adaptability is being able to like fit yourself into any situation. Octopus quotient is multitasking.
Right. Look, I don't have anything better, so...
The octopus quotient.
Would you give me the... I'll steal it in a minute. And I'll just make a list of things that start with O. But I don't know if we're going to get better than octopus quotient.
Yeah, so I think it's an interesting quality, though, because we talk day in and day out about how adaptability is such a key in the game of Survivor, especially the modern game when there is so much crazy crap being thrown your way. And I think that Keon being able to acknowledge that and also acknowledge that those players have different levels is very astute.
Yeah, I mean, adaptability is super important. I don't know, AQ, I might do awareness quotient, which is also super important. But look, she claimed it, so it's a thing.
It's her turn. We have to go with it now.
Yeah.
What is your favorite advantage in Survivor?
Idol nullifier.
Steve. What is going on?
So, like, menacingly, like, Emperor Palpatine, like, I don't nullify her.
What is happening with O? Because it's such a bad advantage, and everyone is saying, is it just because it's, like, recent and unique and, like, a big deal?
That as a player you want, right? Like, you want to have it.
Do you?
Because that, like, you think you got one over me, but I got two over you. Here's my idol nullifier.
I don't think it would be in the first 5 advantages I'd want as a player. And as a viewer, it's super low down. I hope that they aren't, like, convincing producers to do something with this. Is there, like, some sort of agreement to do the nullifier? Oh,
no, you know what? Here's the twist. This season has all idol nullifiers, but no idols. Those people sitting on a bunch of discs the entire season being like, all right, when's an idol coming out?
I actually love that. That would be so trolling. LaRue, I know you're listening. You do that for one season. That's so funny.
Or at least like a couple of rounds, right? Like to do it that way and then have the idol nullifier expire before any idols are even introduced into the game.
Yeah. You have so many people who just take it to Ponderosa with them. Like, damn, I just sat on this for ages. Yeah, there are no idols in the game.
Yeah, amazing. It was null and void. There was nothing to do.
I love that. That's great.
Is a twist. Yeah. You know, hopefully it pops up this season, imagine we'd be able to actually throw that into someone who thinks that they've got it in the bag. Yeah.
If you could have a celebrity or fictional character as your Survivor loved one, who would it be?
I'm just trying to think now. I am going to pay homage to Chad Boswick, Wakanda Man. I think Steve, he will be incredible.
I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible. His name is not Wakanda Man, though, just to be sure.
I mean, his name's not Chad Boswick.
Oh, Chadwick Boseman. I didn't even realize that she mixed up the name.
Yeah, no, but we get it. Keep going.
We get it.
Well, human being to come in to aid with the loved one challenges, and he just got so much presence and power and force, and that would be amazing.
Yeah. Sears. Well, I think here's the thing, Keon. If you can't get Chadwick Boseman, would you accept Anthony Hopkins to come out at the last minute and Skype in for your loved one's visit?
Oh, we're just absolutely not giving people what they want. We offered fictional characters. I guess we can bring people from beyond the grave as well. Like, this is, it's not just about making calls.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, we have like a magical capacity at, like, you know, hopefully, or we're getting impressionists. But this just makes me really sad. Like, I feel like this is taking away from the really fun, ridiculous energy of the brand steel, because I'm just really sad about Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah, but I think he'd bring a nice groundedness to it. He seemed like an absolute, like, top five human being. And so cool for Keon to make mention of him.
I was going to say, like, is Marvel really big in South Africa? And then I realized, no, it's everywhere. It's the whole world.
Yeah, it's the world. It's the number one franchise in the world ever. So, yeah. Yes.
No, I understand. Also, to go back to the Nullifier, because she said, you would, like, show someone who thinks they have it that they don't. But that's what an idol does. So just say idol. And also, even if people are playing the idol, like, they don't know necessarily that it's going to work or that they're getting votes. Like, it's not a sure thing. And then you're nullifying, like, this risky, difficult play. Like, you're the bad guy if you do that. Why are people so into this terrible advantage?
I don't know. Like I said, Keon doesn't seem like she's afraid to not be a villain. So I think she's someone who would revel in the idol nullifier.
But everyone loves it.
It's the new hotness.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
What food would you sit out of an immunity challenge for?
Oof, I think I've said this before. I love my crayfish braai on wood fire.
See you. Yeah, they could get a lot of people if they get a wood fire braai happening, the first two people of this podcast.
Well, listen, I think you just start a fire and Keon's either going to want a barbecue or put it out.
So much fire-related stuff in this interview.
Survivor! There's fire and it represents your life!
And she is a firefighter. But yeah, fire is a big deal.
The kick-ass nails.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be and why?
I think in the game, if we're going to put it in the context of Survivor, I definitely would want to have the power of invisibility, because that is how I can go and sneak in and listen on information.
With one night before the game begins, what's going through your mind?
Actually, you know, not much. I think it's been such a long time coming, kind of like prepping myself mentally for the games. It's just like, I'm just calm. And I think hopefully that I will be able to, because I'm starting like this, I hope I will be able to carry this composure throughout the game, because that will be important, critical for me to have this calmness and this clear mind in order to tackle whatever twist and unpredictabilities that's going to come my way. Thank you for having me on the show, and I've really, really enjoyed being able to kind of like share who I am with you guys. And yeah, have a lucky day.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, producer mom, for telling her to say that. I find it really funny / interesting that with the superpowers, everyone who's using it from a game perspective is just trying to hear information. So you either interpret that as like being invisible, reading minds, or super hearing, and they all achieve the same objective.
I am so excited for Keon. I'm going to make a call right now. I think she is our confessional queen of the season. She just seems like she's already giving such incredible sound bites, and she has such dramaticism in the way that she talks that is just going to make for so much TV gold. I think your mileage or kilometers may vary as to how she's going to do in the game, but however long she lasts, I think she's going to give us absolutely A+ entertainment.
Yeah, I hope it's a long time. Like, I don't feel like I necessarily think it will be. Like, I have nothing to believe she'll necessarily do great at the game. She seems like a big personality, which we know can be tough for women at the beginning of the game, but she is so fun. And I think we as viewers will get a lot out of her. So hopefully she sticks around.
Yeah, I think what's going to help Kian is, unlike maybe someone like Amy, she doesn't necessarily have the gumption to say, I need to be a leader first and foremost, right? She's not necessarily going to be like that Tanya role in saying, okay, everyone listen to me, and really put her opinion out there and almost force it out as the only opinion that matters. And I think that could really help her. It also just seems like she's a genuinely fun person to talk to. Mm. And I think that goes a far way, especially when you start to get to know people. I know we talked about how cutthroat this cast is, but I don't know if they're that cutthroat to say, oh my God, I love talking to Kian so much, we need to vote her out first. So I think that's going to buy her at least a little bit of time in the game. And in Survivor, momentum is everything. So maybe this is me trying to put this out into the universe, but I have high hopes for her. I think that she will, her fire will last a long time in the game.
She seems very unique, and I'm like trying to find her people. Like, I can see like the nerdy superfan group, they all have each other. I can see the like social people and the physical people and people maybe who aren't as big of fans, like that just will kind of click. Like, I see some connections happening, and I don't know, she just seems like such an original and unique personality that I hope she finds her people.
I think she will. I like she said, she's looking for like a couple people that whose company she will enjoy. I think she will certainly find that. I think there are a lot of other jocular personalities that, while definitely ready to play the game, much like she is, are ready to have a good time as well. And I think that's what Kian's really going to be. And she's going to be a good time for us as well. So I'm not sure. There's just something about her that makes me feel like she's going to have an okay footing to start the game, and that's going to turn into a sprint.
That thing is your optimism. That's why you're saying that.
That's my thing.
Mm. All right. Next, we have Santini. She is 39. She has auditioned 4 times. So she's clearly a fan who's wanted to do this.
Wow. She predates the revival of the series.
Yeah, by a lot. She's been doing this for years, because 4 times isn't 4 years in South Africa. That's like decades?
Right.
That's a long time.
Season 4 aired in like 2011.
Yes. So she's clearly committed to this. She is an online business owner, and I will let her take it away.
Tell us about yourself, your name, age, and occupation.
My name is Santini. I'm 38. I'm turning 39 pretty soon. And I've got an online shop with all weird and wonderful clothes and funky goodies.
Why are you here on Survivor?
I've always wanted to do Survivor. This is the 4th time that I've entered, so I'm super excited. I think the reason why I entered was, I'm not your typical Survivor contestant. I don't necessarily look the part. I'm not Sporty Spice, but I know I've got it in me to win this.
What about your fandom history with the show?
I've probably watched every season of The American One. I don't know how to download stuff, so I haven't watched any of the others, but I've watched the Australian All-Star season. It's insane. And I've also watched all the South African Survivors.
What
last year's? I mean, I guess All-Stars Australian Survivor was insane in a certain regard.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot. She doesn't know how to download stuff. How did she watch it? Like, it was
maybe
air.
Someone downloaded it for her and provided it for her. So it also should be mentioned here that Santini stood out to me as soon as I saw the cast photos, because she is decked out in tie-dye, my friend.
Yeah, she actually talked about it in her bio. She says,
does she make mention of it, like mention of why?
She doesn't talk about it in the questions, but she says, I did stop drinking coffee, smoking, eating sugar, but that was about it in terms of her prep. I was planning to get fit, but that didn't happen. The first thing I packed was my tie-dye t-shirt. So we got a new Rupert, a Newpert.
I'm sort of getting Newpert vibes here. I don't know, maybe I'm thinking of like comparing Santini's inability to download things to like Rupert accidentally getting locked out of his Twitter account in terms of level of internet accessibility.
Yeah, she's applied 4 times. He played 4 times.
Oh,
and also tie-dye. Those 2 things.
But the tie-dye, it's mainly
yeah,
the tie-dye.
It's pretty much that.
And if she's watched every season, she has to know that that is so like iconically linked to Rupert. Right,
yeah.
Like it can't be coincidental. She could be like, wait a minute, there was a Survivor contestant that also wore tie-dye?
No.
I had never heard about that before.
No, she'd have to know. And it's a bold thing to try and take on yourself. I mean, like, look, if she just, like, loves tie-dye, then she should wear it. Like, it's not like he, like, has trademarked tie-dye, but it would be like, I mean, be like, I just had to pack my Boston Red Sox cap. Like, that already, we have that in the, you know, in the community already, so.
Yeah, and Elaine did that in Survivor Island of the Idols as well. So, like, you gotta call your shot. Yeah, maybe she assumes that Rupert is gonna be on this season on an island with a giant stone head of himself.
Okay, the fact that I didn't remember that Elaine had a Boston Red Sox cap, it speaks to how difficult this is. Okay, it's really, really hard. Like, will I remember that Santini wore tie-dye in a couple of years? I'm not sure, but I'll always remember that Rupert did. Really difficult thing to claim in Survivor.
Life experiences have prepared you for Survivor.
Okay, so there's quite a lot of things. I worked as a waitress since I was 14. And even after university, I worked in a 24-hour restaurant. So you needed to deal with all kinds of people. I had to work in the TV industry where it was very, very stressful. I worked in the news bulletins where it was very stressful. And and then with my shop, I deal with nice customers, difficult customers. So it's really taught me a lot about people skills. And then also, I don't know. There's a lot of people and a lot of things that cross my path that I've learned things from that I'll be able to use in Survivor. So, I think I've got a lot of life experience. And it's actually good that I'm only on the show now after the four times trying, because previously I don't think I would have been so mentally strong.
Cheers. So I was thinking about it. Is waitress or waiter an underrated career choice for Survivor?
What, because you have to deal with dicks all the time?
Well, I mean, sorry, that's also it, but like I'm also thinking in terms of like showings, because what we have, Courtney Yates made it to second place in a season. Victoria Beaumont is arguably one of the robbed goddesses of Survivor Edge of Extinction. Like, that's a pretty good track record.
It makes sense that it would be really good. I mean, I know that, like, Michelle was a bartender, Michelle Fitzgerald. I think that, like,
Sugar was a cocktail waitress.
Being in the service industry and having to deal with different personality types, some of which may be difficult, while just smiling and being nice to their face and then venting in a confessional-like manner in other ways, probably does fit for Survivor, yeah.
Yeah, because I think you naturally have to know, even when you're not on your best day, like, you don't make money if you don't put on a brave face and, like, swallow someone's BS. Mm-hmm. And that is kind of Survivor to a T, right? Especially when it gets down to the nitty gritty and people are involving you into all these plans and you have to lie to people's faces. So, yeah, we might have backed into the perfect career path for someone who does at least reasonably well in Survivor every time.
It's also super depressing that just working in the service industry is the same as playing, like, a cutthroat strategic game where you're supposed to, like, step over each other to win. That shouldn't be how we treat our service people. It's just awful. I was going to say, enter the slash off, Santini. We've got another slashy.
So she's what? Former waitress, former TV worker, it seems. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what she did in TV, but now
Etsy shop owner. She said news bulletins. Sounds like she was, like, behind the scenes, maybe? I don't know.
So she wasn't sitting in front of the camera. She was, like, running the telegrams to the anchors to be like, this just in, someone's dropped another anchor on that whale.
No, it's never on TV. You never hear about it. That's what I want to say. No, it does sound like, I don't know, that she was, in that stressful running position, just running news to people. Maybe she was just standing outside, seeing if she could see anything happening, and then just running it up to production. It sounds like it was
stressful. Standing on the street waiting for news to happen and was going to run in to tell someone.
Yeah, or maybe they had people in different places, and you can just kind of drive around. Oh, news, drive back. Is that not how news works? I'm a journalist.
I don't think, with news, you don't just, like, rove around looking. This is not like Jake Gyllenhaal movie, right? Where he's, like, purposely causing crimes to write stories about it.
I don't know. I saw the last 5 minutes of that movie, Mike. I'm sorry. I walked to the wrong theater, so I actually didn't get that one. But, look, she's now owns an online business. She's done a lot. She's definitely in the slashy category.
Do we know, do we have any information on Santini's business? Has anyone done any deep dives on it yet?
She just said it has, like, cool products. I'm sure a ton of tie-dye. I'll look it up in the next
year. I want to see what else she's selling, you know? Like, what is she interested in?
We'll support it. That's what we're here for, to support people's businesses, 100%.
All right. Look it up while we keep on going through Santini here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Viber player are you most like?
I really enjoyed Shanae. She was funny and fun-loving. I really enjoyed her. I think I'm a lot like Shock, because I really enjoy the game, but I think I'm not intellectually on the same level as he is. And then I really enjoyed David from the Australian Survivor, the All Stars season. I only watched that. And he is so entertaining. And I really enjoyed the way he flipped the game upside down.
Steers. Okay. I never thought we'd get a Tom mention. Never, ever, ever, ever thought we'd get a Shanae referenced.
But I loved it because as she said it, I was like, Shanae was so underrated and so great. And she was just in such a stacked cast. And we talk about maybe the more ridiculous people more than we talk about her. But she was there the whole time, rolling her eyes, having to deal with it. And we should give her so much more credit than we do. She was a great character and player.
Yeah, she really was. Let's remember that she was the one who like was working with Tom. She went to Rocks for Tom, basically. Mm-hmm. And then she turns on him. When she's like, I'm getting tired of him. He's getting messy. I don't like him anymore. And so
she ends up going out. That was fair.
But she ends up going out due to like this complete fluke, mm-hmm. right? With the Idol Train 2.0, with the three idols being played, and Tom just happens to throw a vote onto her. So yeah, unfortunately, I think Shanae sort of, she definitely is not a Vusi in terms of being underedited. She definitely had her moment. So I mean, this shows how much of a fan Santini is, mm-hmm. that you can pick out someone who maybe it's not someone who's remembered as a top tier character in Survivor South Africa Philippines, but like still has enough personality for her to recognize that she vibes with her in that way.
Well, I love the reference. Because he is so underrated and robbed in so many ways. It's the kind of thing where you always think like Tom and Palesa, because that stands out as if Tom and Shanae weren't in their own right an iconic relationship and their evolution. Also, okay, Santini's shock. It's a lot of like pop cultural things. This is in her Instagram bio.
Oh.
So yeah, it's like she's got like a Yoda shirt. She's got mugs. Yoda good for Nessu. That would be her loved one. That's in the brand Steel. There's a lot of like quirky Jurassic Park.
I see she has a t-shirt with Mike Law's face on it.
I thought you were actually looking it up. I was like, we're both there. No, she doesn't have a real Cannibal Cat Lawyer t-shirt because we've actually
I'm on her shop right now. I really wish she was allowed to wear one of her original creations, which is a rainbow over the words bitch please.
Yeah, she's got a lot of Yoda stuff as well, a lot of mom stuff. I guess it was just Mother's Day. So yeah, support her store. Now we know what she's selling.
Yeah, I think it's I band do
t-shirts
not even, I don't even know where to start in terms of talking about the URL, but it's kwaitokeksister.com.
Good podcasting, just spelling things out. She's got all the Simpsons in masks. Not Maggie, because Maggie obviously needs a pacifier. She's a baby. A lot of, yeah, good stuff. Good Futurama's stuff. There. Right. You get it.
Yeah, basically, if you are into pop culture, you could probably get something affiliated with Santini in there.
Mm-hmm.
But no tie-dye.
Yeah, that was surprising, wasn't it?
What are you most looking for in an alliance partner?
From an alliance, I want people that understand me and that you can always say trust. But I think it would be like-minded people, people that believe in the same kind of game ethic. We need to play. This is a game. And we need to be play and not be so sensitive about things. They need to respect the game as much as I do.
What is your moral or ethical line in the game?
I think the one thing that I won't do is like, I don't know, like get into a relationship with another player, because I don't do that. And I love my partner very much. So I don't think I'll cross that line.
Steers,
but I think
Steers. We didn't ask.
Yeah, no one was asking you to do that. Exactly. What I was about. Yeah.
Just to be clear, that's not what the line means.
Absolutely. No one is requiring that of you. That's so fun. Like, please don't. Please just don't. You don't need to cheat for the game. That's not when we say lie, cheat and steal.
Not in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I her answer beforehand was interesting to me when she said like, oh, you know, it's just a game. I hope people see it that way. And I can understand why she compares herself to Jacques in that regard, because I think Jacques unfortunately ran into a group of people that did not feel like it was just a game, the things he was saying and doing. So I think while, of course, we understand that, and a fan of the show, immensely so, would understand that, it's a different thing when you're in the game and there's people involved. You know, not everyone is going to necessarily be a game bot, or you're not ever always going to have like a Millennials versus Gen X cast where everyone's like, oh, good game, guys, you blindsided me, but that's totally fine. she may be running into people that don't necessarily think the same way she does in that regard.
I think she's doing pretty well with this class. I mean, you talk about millennials versus Gen X. Is this like the most other super fanny season compared to that? Because there's so many fans, so many people who've seen so much of the show. Like, there seems to be a really healthy level of game respect. Like, I think she's in good standing here.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, again, that's another thing also. You say that and then you get into the game and like your feelings get hurt. So I'm not sure, but I just thought it was interesting to pick out how she basically has that attitude of it's just a game and I feel like everyone else should feel that way.
I do think it's interesting compared to like season 6 and 7, where we did obviously have like the Jacques level super fans who had seen every single thing. But then we did have a lot of other people who felt really like moral about it and maybe hadn't seen as much, so just felt like they put a lot of their values onto it. And I feel like that contingent is very minor from these interviews compared to the last two seasons, especially the last season.
Mm-hmm.
Comes to lying, off tubes, whatever. That's part of the game, so I don't mind doing that.
Would you rather be voted out pre-merge or get 0 votes at the final tribal council?
I would rather go out pre-merge because I think it's so embarrassing getting second with no votes. Because that probably means that you were a floater, you didn't do much, and whoever is there with you just dragged you along. A little bit, no offense, no, I'm not going to say it, a little bit like Jean, but now that I've looked at the series again, not quite, but no, rather pre-merge.
Cheers. Okay, Cheers. Good. Thank you for correcting your opinion on Jean, because that is untrue.
And she got 1 vote, okay? I know we just talked about Vussi maybe not being edited, but he voted for her to win, so that counts.
Yeah, she did get 1 vote, and she also did stuff at the end of the game, too. It's just a matter of minor reasons why she didn't win. So I'm glad that she ends up correcting herself, because I do not think, like, when you go to GOAT in modern South African Survivor, you go to Dural. Dural is the layup right there.
How
I know, I'm sorry, but it's true. It's true.
Let's address this later in the podcast for reasons.
Oh, okay.
What's your strongest component in the game? Physical, strategic, or social?
I think it will definitely be social and strategic. I've got a sneaky kind of a brain, but not physical. I don't know. Maybe I am. Maybe this redhead power goddess comes out and challenges. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
What's your favorite advantage in Survivor history?
Shit. I must say my favorite's always the family visits. But I like watching it because I like watching them all cry. So that's probably the best one. But anything with food.
Steers. Wow.
You know, it got misinterpreted.
None of those were answers I expected.
No. Obviously, she was hearing it as like reward. Just lost in translation a little bit, I think.
But I also do like that idea of, I know she meant it well, but just take the statement, I like to watch people cry, and like take it out of context. It's very much Tyson Apostle, right? Saying, I like to watch people's dreams being crushed.
No, I totally get it, because I also obviously love the family visit, and I do like watching people cry. I love the emotion of it. Maybe crying's not the thing I love about it, but it doesn't hurt.
I like when people are happy, and people are happy in the loved ones challenge.
Yeah, I love seeing people happy cry. It's very different to I love seeing people cry, and that is what she means here.
If you could have any celebrity or fictional character as your loved one, who would it be?
Yes, I think that David from season 5 of All Stars. Like, I seriously, I've got a girl crush on that guy, and he is just insane. I think it will be a very strategic move. He'll give me good advice and help me in the game. Yeah.
Steers. So this will be interesting, right? Because David, once upon a time, invoked being Iron Man with his two idols. Now he gets to meet both Iron Man and Robert Downey Jr.
But he doesn't count as a version of Iron Man on the show, or like on our brand Steel. He's still David.
Yeah, but he was Iron Man in his confessional.
Okay, but we're not counting him as an Iron Man because this is important for later.
Oh, okay. But also, he's him and Tony in the same room is something I would pay money to see, even more so if they boxed each other.
I say this as someone who loves David. Don't tell him how much South Africa loves him, because he's and I'm not saying this like we talked about Russell and Johnny Fairplay and how much they seem to get evoked in, especially as one of South African champions for Russell. I'm not saying it in a negative way, because I really do love David, but I don't think his ego needs to know the level of fandom that is reaching South Africa for him. Let's all just agree not to tell him. Although he did post about Rainier on Instagram, and he was like, my guy.
Wait, really?
Do you think he's listening to this? Because in that case, I'm so glad you're getting the support, David. Your ego does need to know that you are universally beloved and not just in the country. Good for you.
Wait, we need to stop down and talk about this, because we know that we mentioned, right, that Dino had talked with Jacques, right? He talked with Luke. Did Rainier talk with David and didn't mention it?
There's something going on. It was before I had done the podcast with you about Rainier, so it was when I was, like, trying to click off any content that could, like, spoil my, interpretations, although he did also message me, so it was a tough one with Rainier. But I was like, oh, that's interesting, but then I was, like, immediately click off his story. But he definitely mentioned it. So he must be connected to this, which is great, because everyone's connected to him. He has been mentioned so many times in these bios and interviews.
This is so intriguing. I mean, I know a lot of people were saying, well, David has American citizenship, so we should get him on American Survivor. He honestly could be the first Survivor contestant to do the whole world tour and do Australia, US, South Africa, maybe New Zealand if it comes back.
Is David doing this for $1 million, though?
I don't know. I mean, listen, again,
he's on Celebrity Apprentice at the moment, so.
Yeah, and if you pitch him on, like, hey, South Africa loves you, he's going to think it's going to be his Redemption Island season, where he comes in and everyone is in love with him and he wins $1 million handily.
It might be that. I mean, LaRue, I think, would cast him. This might actually happen. We might be manifesting something.
Yeah, David in Survivor South Africa season 9 would be absolutely wild, but I think it'd be very intriguing to see, especially if you continue casting people that have girl crushes on him.
Yeah, okay. If David's listening, you know, sorry about the stuff I said before, and also excited to see you on a future season of Survivor South Africa.
It's super shallow, maybe, but yo, we're in there to win it. So yes, David.
What food would you sit out of an immunity challenge for?
Pizza. In Vine.
If you could have any superpower.
I love, that was my favorite food answer. No, like, I would never do it. No qualifying. Pizza and wine. No explanation necessary. Absolutely loved it.
And that's very Santini, right? Like, that's very much the impression that I'm getting. She's just like, I really have always wanted to do this. Am I the best physical specimen? No, I'm hoping for the best. But you give me pizza and wine and I'm totally happy.
Love it. A woman after my own heart.
Power, what would it be and why?
I was thinking about this question, and I think it would be being able to be invisible. Then you can listen to what people are saying behind your back.
With one night before the
job, super hearing will also do that. And reading minds.
But super, yeah, but exactly. But I think invisibility is more fun because you get to be more sneaky. You know, you're not going anywhere if you can read minds and have super hearing. This at least gets you a little more mobile.
Nah, the other two are better because then I don't have to get up.
That's it. I guess that depends on your interpretation, right? Like, do I have to move? No. Okay, might I suggest super hearing? Or if you're less inclined to have big ears, how about mind reading?
But also, if you're invisible, then you control that. Instead of just hearing stuff all the time, which would get really noisy, like, maybe you'd hear nothing if you had super hearing because you'd hear everything. Same with mind reading. Whereas this, like, you're in the location, you hear what you want to hear without just, like, everything bombarding you with their thoughts and words.
Exactly. As two people who suffer from anxiety, that just sounds like the worst nightmare ever.
Oh my God, being able to hear what everyone's thinking about me? Oh my God. Oh my gosh, I would hate that so much. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
I could not agree more. So all the power to those that wanted to do that, and all the power to those that wanted to be invisible, and the one person who said they wanted bat ears.
He didn't say bat ears. He said super hearing. Don't put words.
Yeah, but that's the image that comes to mind, right? Is like, what's the best animal with hearing? A bat.
Absolutely did not come to my mind.
Maybe a whale.
What's going through your head?
It's the weirdest thing. There's not a lot going through my head because I've been preparing for this for such a long time. It's this calmness. But maybe, I don't know, before very stressful situations, there's a weird calmness, but I'm a control freak, so I've been going through this in my head a lot. So I'm actually quite calm, and excited. Thank you so much for having me. Bye.
And I pointed it out. It kills me every time.
You're welcome, Santini.
Love chatting to you. Yeah, a lot of fun as well. Another obvious big personality. You know what's fun about this cast is, like, every single person, at least almost every single person, or every single person, I feel like I understand why they were cast. Sometimes you look at people, like, not to, like, call out the US, but you're like, why or for reasons I don't agree with. Whereas, like, every person we've spoken to, kind of, so far, has had, like, a story or, like, a really clear personality or, like, a clear reason they're on the show.
I agree. And I think Centini also is very unique in that perspective, in that she is sort of representing that, like, Suri contingent, right? The, hey, I've always wanted to be on the show. Let me get off the couch, put on my tie-dye, and go do it, which is great. And Suri is my favorite Survivor player of all time. But I feel like Suri is also a bit of a unicorn in that regard. I do have a little bit of fear, especially when Centini says, like, oh, I'm no, in no way very physical. I unfortunately feel like the way that Survivor usually goes, she may be a target early on, especially near the end there when she says she's a control freak. I wonder if that's cheeky or if that really is something that is a weakness of hers. And if that's the case, I really hope that she goes far for personalities and to see what she can do, especially play the game that she has wanted to be on for so, so long. But there admittedly are some tie-dyed flags popping up to me right now.
Suri is such a good segue to our next contestant, but I have more on Centini that I want to say. Yeah, like, big, loud personality in a woman who's saying she's not so physical. I have concerns. I'm not as much an optimist as you are, so I'm concerned. I hope she does stick around. She says in her bio, my friends and family thought I was crazy for wanting to enter, and I wanted to prove everyone wrong. Another spite application, especially another, four times. I love that.
Yeah, which is great. Again, I think she's going to be so much fun, and whenever I see a super duper fan on the screen, like, my heart goes out to them in so many ways, because I think we can all sympathize with our love for the show. We wouldn't be spending hours at a time talking about this if we didn't have that. And so for that sake, I hope she's able to check everything off her bucket list in that way. And again, I said this about a lot of contestants, but I really do feel no matter how many episodes she's going to be on, she's going to be such a colorful personality, both in her garb and her entertainment.
And her hair.
Hair as well. Yeah, the bright red hair.
She also said, I also wanted to go through the process of being cold, hungry, etc., to have a better idea of what the majority of South Africans are faced with daily, so that I can hopefully use the Survivor experience to do some good in the world. So I thought that was something worth mentioning.
That's really interesting. Yeah, obviously, you can imagine there are some selfish reasons, as you talked about, for her wanting to be on the show. But if she's already coming away saying, like, oh, this is an experience I want to walk away changed with, that's incredibly unique. And I do think, as we mentioned before, the waitress service industry career path is one that portends well to Survivor. So I think maybe those pluses might outweigh some of those minuses. I think it depends on the tribe that she's on, and namely, you know, if they rack up a challenge losing streak, is it going to be like, okay, let's look around here. Who can we get rid of if we want to keep winning challenges?
Yeah, I hope that she is in there long enough to have that really positive experience and to do something really good with it like she wants to do. Still super depressing that we're touching on the fact that restaurant and bar customers are as bad as tired, hungry people in a competition for the most money they'll ever win in their lives. Don't be that person, guys. Be better than that.
They have one thing in common. They're both hungry.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. You keep them waiting for long enough, and it's like the day 36 of Survivor. So who can blame these people? No, don't be that guy. Okay?
Yeah. How do you deal with starvation? Well, one time I was waiting at Olive Garden for an hour before I got my breadsticks, and it was horrible. So I think I could last 39 days.
We're going to get to some questions like that. Stay tuned. But were you saying something about Suri as a segue? Something?
Who's up next?
Okay, someone's going to talk a lot about Suri, so it's a good segue. Wasn't actually that good a segue now that I... Anyway, Teresa is the next person. She is a marketing officer. Is
Teresa or Suriso?
Still not great. I'm sorry for thinking it would... Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I don't... okay, but she's 36, marketing officer. Also really enjoyed her energy. Take it away. Tell us about yourself. Your name, age, and occupation.
My name is Torisom Africa. I am 35 years of age, and I'm a marketing officer from Mutineg.
Why are you here on Survivor?
I'm on Survivor because I'm a super fan. I don't think you'll get a fan bigger than I am.
Tell us about that super fandom.
I just want to point out from you, I love your own behind that question.
What?
Tell us about that super fandom. It sounds like you were like, a backup artist for some sort of soul band.
No, I thought it came off as really passive aggressive. Like, she's like, I'm the biggest super fan ever. And it's been pointed out. Am I a little bit judgmental in life and in people's super fandom? Yes, this is all I have. Let me have it. And I was like, tell us about it. Like, okay, put your money where your mouth is. I didn't mean to come off that passive aggressive, and I could have edited it differently, but it was late last night. And
no, I did not. Maybe that's me being super optimistic. I didn't read it as passive aggressive. I was more like, you show them, like, tell them about it. Preach.
Yeah. It was a lot. It came in quite emphatically. So maybe it's more like, yeah, supportive. Like, tell us about it. I don't know. Thank you for reading it that way, though.
All right. We'll hear it again just to make sure. And then we'll continue.
Okay.
Tell us about that super fandom.
Why am I like this? It was bad. It wasn't good. I had one job and it was an easy job and it's not good.
Totally insane. I think the first season of Survivor came out when I was in grade 9. So got introduced to it in class because we were studying Lord of the Flies, and I've been hooked ever since.
What's the one life experience you feel prepared you most for the game?
We touched on the fact that she got introduced into Survivor because they showed it to her at school. If I was choosing schools and it was like, we're learning about Lord of the Flies, one of you is going on a 28-day trek where not all of you will survive, and the other people are going to watch Survivor, I know what school I would pick.
Yeah, and I mean, that makes sense considering at the time. Though I guess this was, I'm assuming it was the fall of 2000, right? Because then it aired in the summer, and they're like, oh, we're going to watch, I'm assuming, the premiere of Survivor. I don't know if you're showing kids things like, oh, this is when they ate the rats. This is when the guy walked around naked for his birthday.
Were you concerned about that? They put kids into the wilderness.
I suppose so. South African schools are of a different breed entirely.
Oh, no, I've been pointed out to me that apparently Australian schools have treks that are not 28 days, but long, and some things are happening. I want to say my school did it, so that's my experience. Yeah. I don't want to put it on South Africa. This is not something that's familiar to me.
Lord of the Flies, I'm trying to think about, like, the comparisons it really has to Survivor, besides people being on an island. Like, I guess the conch
one
shell
they
makes
survive it, kind of thing.
Yeah, and the conch shell is important in that one episode of Survivor that Jeff tries out, remember, with the talking stick, basically.
I'm sure
and
that's what a the big teachers were thinking.
Yeah, and Lord of the Flies. Yeah, and I guess it's this idea of, like, survival of the fittest, in a manner of speaking, and when you turn feral and you turn on your fellow man. I'm not sure. I can understand why on the surface it might be brought in a first Survivor unit, but I don't know how much comparative DNA there is. But hey, if you have an excuse to watch Survivor in school, take that opportunity.
Some teacher hadn't caught up on last night's episode. They were busy, and they were like, hey, we're doing Lord of the Flies, and we're going to watch it. I said Lord of the Fries. That's a restaurant here in Australia. I don't know if you guys have
Wait,
that.
Really?
Yeah, it's fries mostly.
I would imagine so, because yeah, they're the lord of them.
Yeah. But no, amazing schooling experience. We had to once in class do, we had to, like, make our own lesson. Like, that was the task. And I don't remember what it was about, but I do remember just watching an episode of The Simpsons. So maybe the DJ has a similar idea. I'm just going to get the TV out, watch what I want to watch.
Well, that's what one time I had to do. I was in, like, a comparative religion class in college, and we had to do a project on what pop culture examples display, like, locative versus utopian societies. And locative societies are where you build in an inherent structure into it. And then utopian is just, like, willy nilly run around and do whatever you want. And for locative, I used the two examples from Survivor and Lost. Survivor, I used the Borneo opening where Jeff Probst does the, like, oh, they have to form a society or they'll be voted out. And then for Lost, I used the infamous live together, die alone speech, which, Shannon, you have no concept of, but it permeates amongst the Lost fans out there. So, yeah, I'm all for teachers allowing us to dip more into the island based shows that we love in our schooling.
Were you wearing your buff, and is this when they burned your hair?
No, and no.
Okay.
Bill has prepared you most for this game.
Sure, that's such a difficult one. I'd probably say the fact that I've seen the good in everyone, from the worst kind of person to the best kind. I think everyone has some good in them.
What do you think?
Steers. Wow, that is a unique answer.
Yeah, I'm really glad her producer didn't ask her to extrapolate on that, because she doesn't need to. That's fine. She does end up opening up a little bit more, I think, as it goes on. And I think she's, you know, she's keeping the cards a little bit close to the vest on that, but then they're revealing kind of like in how pointed they are.
Yeah, but I think what's intriguing about that is that Survivor, like so many people have talked about how Survivor shows the worst of humanity, right? It shows what you will do in the pursuit of $1 million. But she's more so saying what applies to this game for me is that I know that everyone deep down is a good person. And that is such a unique way of looking at your competitors, as opposed to, okay, these people might stab me in the back. It's more so like, well, who knows? They're good people at the end of the day.
And she seems to talk from experience, not just like, I just believe people are great. Like, I've lived a charmed life. Like, she's saying, like, I've seen it all, and I still have this belief. So, yeah, I mean, that's a good thing to try and keep through Survivor. Maybe these people will change her mind.
I think people will perceive you as.
Sure. That's a difficult one to call. They'll probably perceive me as someone who they can get rid of very easily at any time, because I'm not physically fit for the game, I reckon.
Which Survivor player are you most like?
My dream girl, Ceri Fields.
Yes.
Definitely. But I think I want to do her two better than she did on Fans versus Favorites. Lovely, astute, intelligent, charming. Yeah, all round great player.
Cheers. Now I want to be like you. Tell us more about Ceri.
No, I was just like, preach. Like, as she's saying all these compliments, I'm just nodding. Like, this is a great answer. I'm fully on board with this. She's a big fan. Like, she referenced quite a few people in her bio of her favorite player. She said Sandra Diaz-Twine because of her clinical execution, Ceri Fields, Yul Kwon, third.
Oh my god, what? What
as many
is Yul doing?
As many tangential Iron Man references as we've had. Earl Cole, Rob Bentley, Jeremy Collins, and Wendell Holland. So
wow. Yeah. Oh, I mean, an Earl Cole reference. That's even, I think, more impressive than a Yul Kwon reference. Yul at least appeared in Winners at War, but you got to go all the way back to 2007 to be talking about Earl Cole.
Yeah, and she talks about some other players coming up as well. But yeah, some good taste coming in from Teresa. I mean, all the Ceri stuff, like, absolutely perfect answer. I can't disagree with anything you say. She is a goddess. Completely agree with you.
No, listen, we are a Ceri-loving podcast here, so I have to co-sign everything you said. But I think what I like about it is that she's picking specific qualities out for her. It's not necessarily like, oh, I want to play like Rob Bentley because he won the game.
Mm.
You know, it's more so like, these are the qualities. Like she talked about with Sandra, it's not that she won twice, it's because she has clinical execution. And so I do like this idea that she is cherry-picking specific qualities that she wants from those players, because ideally that's what the answers that you want. Are ones that like, oh, I want this from this person and this from this person to sort of create a Frankenstein-like creation. I should also note, I am not the most fashionably inclined, but it does look to me like in her photo, she's wearing like a sort of what sort of looks like a leisure suit that's not too dissimilar from like what we saw Ceri wearing in Survivor Micronesia.
There'll be some other answers as well that fit. I mean, she already said like people will always think they can get rid of me because I'm not super physically fit. And that's my concern as well, because like there's another pathway for Ceri that didn't happen, and that pathway is she's the first boot in Panama. Like she almost,
I was gonna say, like, yeah, I mean, it almost happened.
Yeah, and like she wasn't, not because of luck, because she did that because she's amazing, because she turned everyone around to vote out the strongest player instead of the weakest. She has mind control powers. It's ridiculous, but it's a sliding door path that exists in this world that I don't like to think about, where she is the first boot on that season. And I just really hope for Teresa that those qualities that make you, like, again, maybe a possible liability, but then you have, like, the intelligence, but then that makes you a threat. All of these things, like, they shouldn't work for Ceri. She should go out early much more than she does. Right. And I hope that that is not the fate for Teresa.
Right. That's like what I said with Santini. Like, it's a game that has been done before, but is it specific to Ceri? Can it be replicable?
It's really tough.
It's really tough. So we shall see. But I'm excited. I'm excited for more Ceri comparisons.
What do you desire in an alliance partner?
In an alliance partner, all I'm looking for really is someone who feels that they need me to advance their game. That's it.
What is the ethical or moral thing for you?
Like, not saying a lot, but saying a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's this idea of like, hey, I'll work with you. You know, if you need me around, I'm going to be here for you. Shane, I will look at your chafed penis. You know, as long as that means that you don't vote me out. And I think that says a lot. I know a lot of people spoke about personality qualities. It says a lot about Teresa that she basically comes in with, well, honestly, I'm just going to work with someone who feels like they want to keep me for whatever reason, whether it's because they think they're going to beat me at the end or not. And that shows not only adaptability, but also simplicity. And sometimes in Survivor, especially as the game gets increasingly complex, sometimes you just need to like go back to those simple principles. And that's a very simple principle where if she's, you know, darting between a bunch of allies like Ceree did back in Micronesia, it's very easy to be like, okay, who wants to work with me? Great, I'm going to go with them.
But also just like thinking outside yourself is a really big leap. Even though it might sound simple, it's not, because you're thinking, what do I want in alliance? But she's taking it back to, well, what do people want in me and how can I use that to my advantage? Kind of how we talk about, like, I talked with Jacob Sager Weinstein in the Mathematical Game Theory Principles podcast about backwards induction and kind of, you know, working back from a result, but then through other people's decisions to your own action. And I think that's a really good quality to think, okay, if it's a good ally for me, what can they use from me? Why do they want to work with me? Do they think they can beat me? Do they think they can use me? Like, how is this beneficial? Because they're self-interested. So if I can kind of tap into that self-interest in a way that I can understand it and then I can utilize it, I'm on a really good path.
You in Survivor?
I love this question because I think in terms of the game of Survivor, it has its own rules. And the rules are such that moral and ethical lines can be blurred and bent in order to build the integrity of the game. So to build a good game, I don't think there are any.
Would you rather?
Cheers. I really like that phraseology of building the integrity of the game. I think that sort of goes part and parcel with what I've been saying recently about Survivor, which is, depending on the season, the cast sort of creates its own rules, right? Where some things may be allowed on one season, but some things may not on another season. It's because of the people that are there. Again, going back to that Jeff Probst opening monologue that I use in my religion course, like, they are creating a society. They are the arbiters of what is and is not going to determine what does and does not fly in this makeshift society. And so I think she's making a great point about how everyone's going to have a different set of ethical and moral lines. And then it's almost like the cumulative nature of those lines is going to build this concept of integrity that exists in this particular season.
Yeah, she's great. I think you can tell, like, there's a lot of thought given behind every answer, where, like, no, it's very economical answers, like, no word is wasted, and we're really getting a lot of insights out of it. I also realized you're not going to get the three comparisons in the interview because it's in her bio. That's where I was. So you're going to be disappointed by that. Let me read it to you now. She said, I'll stand out as an anomaly on the show because I wouldn't be caught dead camping. I'm a creature of comfort and would probably die if I ever did something like this alone.
Yes, that pretty much is like word for word something that Saria said.
She got up off the couch, and that's the difference between contestants who have done 28 days in the wilderness and the contestants who watch TV in school. But I am the kid who watched TV in school, so I love it. I identify with it. She said her strategy going into the game is to be the person everyone wants to take to the end because they think they can beat her.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense. The tricky thing is always going to be, can you turn that around and make people realize that, you know, that was your plan all along, that you weren't just the goat? Can you get the goat in the end and say, like, you thought you were dragging me here, but actually I was making you drag me here. Can you pull the Christie is the question.
Well, it's just, again, that she's thinking so much about how other people will perceive her and how, you know, how other people will use her or interact with her that she can then use to her advantage. So that's clearly a running theme. Last thing from the bio before we get back into the interview, she said to prepare for a time in the game, she listened to podcasts analyzing different methods of playing. Do you think that we were included? And I hope we were.
I hope we were. I mean, I know that it was not mentioned explicitly, but you'd have to imagine if she's looking at podcasts about Survivor gameplay, maybe she at least chanced upon us. I hope so.
Hello, if so, we'll see. All right. We're not going to get mentioned in the interview.
Hello, so. If so.
Yeah. Either be voted out pre-merge or get 0 votes at the final tribal council.
This is a funny question. I'd probably have to go for the final tribal council, because the idea of me getting 0 votes is it's beyond my scope of imagination. I'd rather go to the final tribal council, definitely, and be beaten by a sound, solid player convincingly. You know, the likes of a Jeremy Collins, Kim Spradlin, Tom Westmans. Those are the type of guys that nobody can beat in a season.
What? Cheers. A Tom Westman reference.
I know.
Too.
It's fun. Look, like, yeah, they field didn't play in the last year. They weren't even on Winners of War. I love that, because we were talking about it. It's like, well, how do you perceive the question? And one of the things I said was like, well, are you a goat? Are you like Steven, who in other ways could win, but happened to be sitting next to JT? And that's more a JT thing than a him thing. Like, he couldn't
do a lot
with that.
Are you like a Hannah Shapiro, who like makes a big run at the end, but is up against Adam, who has a lot of stuff going for him and ends up, you know, getting a unanimous vote?
So the fact that she thought about it in her fandom as much to be like, you know, maybe I'm playing such a great game and I am against, you know, like a Jeremy Collins or a Tom, not in a way that I took them to the end, but maybe like they won the last couple of challenges and there's nothing I could do. It's like, I was pretty close to winning if I was sitting next to anyone else, and that's not a me thing. So I like that answer.
Also, another comparison between Teresa and Ceree. I love Teresa's laugh. I think her chortle is absolutely fantastic.
Oh, I loved how much she was enjoying the questions, and I still love how much everyone hates that one question and just tortured by it. We love to torture them.
What's the biggest component of your game? Social, strategy, or physical?
I think the biggest one for me is definitely strategy, followed closely by social. I don't mince my words about what my intent is in the game. And I just want to keep my eyes on the prize all the time, be 5 steps ahead of everyone else.
What's your favorite advantage in Survivor history?
Ooh, I'd have to say a super idol, hey, because the power that it yields, and the fact that, yeah, it's a mind-blowing advantage. The fact that you can nullify votes afterwards is great.
What celebrity or fictional character would you like to be your Survivor loved one?
I'll pick a fictional character. As a throner, I'd have to say Daenerys Targaryen from Game of Thrones. Just very aspirational, flawed character, with a level of sympathy, and an overriding desire to do good, but overridden by that internal conflict that she had.
What?
Dears. Well, hopefully her trajectory will go better than Dany's in the final season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I actually only saw the last 5 minutes of that too, so I don't. Unless that was in the last 5 minutes. I actually never saw any of Game of Thrones. Sorry to.
It's
a hard thing to admit.
Maybe one day.
I'm scared of a lot of things, and I don't know. Game of Thrones seems really scary. So.
But I mean, it's a very, like, I love that character breakdown too. It's not just like, oh, this would be a fun character to hang out with. This is like, oh, I really like these specific qualities of these characters. And again, you find someone in 2021 to talk about how much they love Daenerys Targaryen. That is a very special person. Though I will warn her impending loved one in Dany that there is a firefighter in this cast. They will not do with dragons. Thank you very much.
I understand all your references.
Something tells me you don't, but I'll keep going.
Food would you sit out an immunity challenge for?
I definitely won't be sitting out of an immunity challenge for food. I think it's ridiculous that people would even consider that. My eyes are on the prize.
Steers.
That shocked me.
Yeah, that's not in line. That's not Sari. Like, would Sari would sit out? Has she sat out?
Yeah.
Am I going to get fact checked on this?
Yeah, she did. She sat up in remember in Panama when they did like the eat the cheeseburgers, and while Terry and Aris and Sally swam out and did the challenge, like, she sat out.
Well, she knew she wasn't going to beat Terry. Like, Teresa's coming in saying, "I'm not the physical person." Like, I don't know why stand up in a challenge that you don't know if you can win, if it does seem like something that's maybe not to her skill set, and she's saying she's not necessarily going to be a physical player. Like, there's no reason to just not eat for pride. We're not judging you.
Yeah, that's an intriguing sticking point for her, right? She seemed to be very much very, you know, easy peasy about certain aspects of the game. Of like, oh yeah, I know I'm not good at this. I'm going to make up for it in other areas. Mm-hmm. But for her to be like, but I will not sit out an immunity challenge for food. You cannot take that away from me. Interesting hill to die on.
Yeah, definitely, you know, eat the cheeseburger. If you're saying that you're going to make up for it in other ways, like be nourished so you can be strategic, because like we don't all have to play physical games. I know I would go out there and sit out for anything because I'd be terrible at challenges.
Yeah, and we've heard that from a couple of people. We've heard that from a couple of our cast members even, of like, I'm not winning the challenge, so I'm eating every day of the week.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see if she can put her food where her mouth is or not when the challenge comes up.
Yeah, she would not want to put her food where their mouth is. That's the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be and why?
I guess because I've said Danny's my my favorite fictional character, I'd definitely say riding a dragon would be totally awesome.
With one more
cheers.
That's not a superpower, right?
I mean, so in Game of Thrones, you like had to sort of have her lineage to be able to tame dragons. Like, right. Her family were the ones that commanded the dragons. But does a superpower count if you are one of the rare people that can do it? Like, is being left-handed a superpower?
No, sorry, lefties.
No, see, I think you just alienated our left-handed audience. Well, you're pushing them away with your left hand.
I mean, all the power to you, but not the super. Like, you're not a superhero. You don't have superpowers if you're left-handed. Like, no, yeah, that's also a really bad superpower if it is one. No one has wished for that.
Yeah, to be left-handed?
Yeah, no one yet has asked for that as their superpower. So, just saying.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand why it was top of mind, so like just come up with it. But I guess commanding dragons, maybe it's like animal control, right? Mm. Having the ability to control creatures, maybe it's in that realm.
Mystical
be the beastmaster.
I mean, she said riding a dragon, like that seems like the dragon has the power more than you.
You have the power to control the dragon.
I mean, I don't know if I was like riding a broomstick, like I don't know. I guess enchanting a broomstick or. So it's something dragon related. It's certainly mystical. It's certainly magical. It's not of this world. But are you, is that your power? Or are you just like a mere mortal just experiencing the magic of others?
That's a good question. Is it superhuman in that regard?
And it really can't help you hear other people in the game talk about you. That's like the one unique thing about it. It's very unique in a lot of different ways.
One night before the game starts, what's going through your mind?
Can we get started already? I've been waiting. I need to meet these people that I'm playing with, suss them out. I think that's the thing for me. I think day one is going to be incredibly quiet for me if I can help it. Because it's literally just about gathering information. I wouldn't want to make any interactions with other players until I've got enough data as to how to approach each and every one of them. Thank you for having me. Yeah, I look forward to chatting to you again.
Nice to chat, Teresa. Lovely to chat to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Chatting in person. Absolutely. I mean, I feel for the editors if they put Teresa and Amy on the same tribe, considering both of their strategies is to say nothing on the first day.
Imagine a conversation between the two of them. It's like a game of chicken of who's going to be the one first. To talk first. Yeah. We got a lot from her bio. One thing I wanted to mention, she said she feels that the part of her personality most likely to irritate her tribe mates is the fact that she's oblivious to anything which doesn't directly affect me.
Oh, Oh, no.
I thought that was an interesting thing to say for a lot of different reasons. Just very pointed.
That sounds like very Jenna Maroney.
Yeah. And also, how does it work in life and in Survivor? I think we maybe shouldn't take it so literally because it actually doesn't work in society.
No, I feel like the way that she's coming across, like she seems very cheeky. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's like sort of a tongue-in-cheek type of answer.
No, there's really definitely a humor there.
I have really high hopes for Teresa. Maybe just because like I really like her interview. There are definite weaknesses that show, notably in the physical department. And like we've spoken about, it can really go one of two ways where, like they said, she is just regarded as like a loyal person who these gamers can drag to the end, but she's so much more. Or they say she has no right being in the wild right now. Let's get rid of her ASAP. It honestly could come down to a coin flip, but I hope it's the former. At least, because she seems like such a fun personality and someone who does really have not only a good head up for the game, but a good head for the series in general.
Yeah, I'm beginning to become concerned through this podcast about like fun, smart, unique, standout women who admit in some cases to not being super physical and are going into Survivor. As we said, the sliding doors of Suri. I mean, one pass, you know, multi-season best player of all time, still hasn't won, but should have. Numerous times versus could really have been first boot, and in 99% of cases probably should have been. Only saved herself with her own brilliance. It's a tough road. It's a harder game than other people have to play, and that is what can be really difficult about Survivor. It's not an even playing field. So hopefully this goes well for some of these contestants we're hearing about today that I really enjoy, and I'm hoping we see some longevity in the game for them.
Not to say they're feeling the same archetype, but I would love to see what would happen if Teresa and Santani were all in the same tribe. Because I feel like they're both sort of gunning for that same strategy, right? They're saying, I'm not the most physical, but I do think I appeal to people in a way outside of the challenges. Can those people coexist in the same group?
Yeah, or is it good? Because then you have a bit of a shield in that. Like maybe if you're going to get rid of one first, and maybe then you have a little bit of time.
That's a good point as well. It's sort of like, I'll throw you in front. I'll throw you to the cheetah that's chasing us so that they can. Was it like, isn't that the old phrase is like, you don't have to outrun the cheetah. You just have to outrun one other person.
I never heard that, but I love it. That's a good saying. I think we're being maybe too pessimistic about these two women we've just heard from that we really enjoy.
No,
and we're saying who's going to get eaten by a cheetah first.
No, I'm being optimistic in the perspectives of like, listen, there are some things that don't make them look good on paper. If they happen to overcome that, that makes me very happy because I very much like listening to them.
Yeah. Also, I don't want to be too pessimistic. Like maybe I just don't want my hopes dashed and I'm scared of that.
I love being wrong on these podcasts. So let me be wrong in so many ways, Shannon.
Cut that clip.
Just emblazon it on my forehead, right next to my
bio.
Tom Swartz cat calendar.
No, yeah, that's on the grave. That's on the tombstone.
There's so many things on my tombstone at this point.
I know. I love building it because it's like it's important to think about these things. Here lies Mike Bloom. He loves being wrong. He loved being wrong.
Yeah. No, you can still keep it in the present tense. Why not? There's life after death, maybe. All right, Shannon, we have one more. This is our last one.
Yes. Okay. So, oh my God, I must be feeling emotional. I really am.
Don't worry, we get to watch literally an entire season of these people.
No, it really feels like we're coming to the end of something. We haven't even ended our preseason coverage with this, and it still feels like I don't want it to end. I really enjoyed doing this. Well, we have Warda. She's 39. She's from Joburg. And look, this interview was a journey for Warda. And for me, the producer, who I'm 95% sure was LaRue, the little bit, you went off script a little bit, and it's hard when I'm editing it because I have to follow where he goes. So I have to ask some questions that I was confused about. Like, okay, this is our last interview. We're 20 interviews into this. The audience might think they know all questions by heart. They could do these interviews themselves. They've heard it 19 times. Think again, because you're about to be... We're about to deviate from the path. That's all I'll say.
Oh, my God.
Tell us about yourself, your name, age, and occupation.
My name is Warda. I am 39 years old. I am a yoga teacher and a fitness professional.
Why are you here on Survivor?
Because I'm a fan of the show and I finally decided to follow through with me threatening for years to actually enter and not just watch the game.
Tears. Wait, so who is she threatening?
Maybe it's a spite application.
We need more spite applications. It's made it, the success rate is clear. If you want to apply, do it spitefully.
And it's just to the point now where I'm judging anyone who didn't apply for spite. Like, you just wanted to fulfill your dreams. How boring is that? You want to show someone. Yeah.
Adventure of a lifetime? No. Who are you proving this to back home?
Yeah. And people need it, like, in general. If people are really down on you for your dreams and are saying you can't do it, like, get better loved ones. Don't just spite them. Like, maybe just change those people in your life. But either way.
Preferably the loved ones made out of ice cream that you can eat.
Yeah, just eat those loved ones. Done. Don't need a spy to apply. You've just solved it.
Win-win.
What is your fandom history with the show?
I've watched the show for decades. I think from the very first time it started, it was such an unusual concept to me that I remember talking to my brother on the couch. I must have been, I don't know, very young when it started. Just saying to him, so these people are actually lying to each other and tricking each other to win money. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. And I remember thinking, watching the very first season I ever watched, and I was like, I could never do that. That's crazy. And then obviously as you get older and I've watched so much of it and, you know, now in my adult life watching it, I just thought it was something that I needed to do.
What one life experience do you feel has most prepared you for Survivor?
So what has prepared me for this day is my previous career, which was a journalist. And obviously being...
Cheers. Slashy alert.
Yeah, what is happening? I feel like most of the people today are slashies. Because she did say yoga instructor and fitness professional. Those things are very, like, I think one of, like, that's not really a slash. Like, yoga instructor fits into fitness professional, but now you got journalist. Straight slash.
I don't know. Well, I guess define fitness professional. Does that mean like you lead classes, maybe?
Well, she's a yoga instructor.
Or is it more so like, oh, you're a professional bodybuilder, you know?
Either way, I think they're too close together to be a slashy, but with the journalist stuff, then yes, obviously. Slashy.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. All right, let's get the scoop.
Being a journalist, you expose to so much every day. Every day is different. You don't know what the day is going to entail, where you're going to find yourself, where in the country, where in the world, and having to connect with people and forge relationships with them so that you can get the information out of them that you need in order to package a story and have it on air for that same day has made me uniquely prepared for this because I'm able to forge relationships really quickly and get people to trust me in order for me to get what I need out of them.
How do you think people perceive you?
I think people generally think I'm very nice and I'm sweet and I'm harmless and that I'm not much of a formidable force. Those that have seen my true colors and have seen who I really am, whether I meant them to or not, generally find me quite threatening. So it's either one or the other.
Cheers.
Yeah, wow. Two times for threatening in the first couple of minutes of this interview is a lot.
Yeah, where she says, in like people find out my true colors. She says her true colors are threatening. You think it's the opposite, right? Oh, people perceive me as threatening, but then once they get to know me, they see my true colors, which is that I'm, a little quieter. No, she's saying the exact opposite.
Yeah. Also, the fact that it's been repeated, maybe it wasn't a spite application. Maybe it was something else that we can't even conceive of. But as a journalist, to talk about how she thinks that'll like inform how she plays the game, you talk about being a waitress. I think the journalism can be a good skill to have in the game. If you're someone who goes out and interviews people, if you're interested in humans and their stories and listening and really finding the interesting parts of that, that as she said, she gets what she needs out of it. As a journalist, that's, the interesting good story. And in Survivor, that's the relevant information. So I think that is a pretty crucial skill.
Yeah, I think that it's a good way to manage a conversation. And that's the way you get things done in Survivor. Is through negotiations and conversations, right? As a journalist, you probably figure the way you need to steer things and steer people's objectives. Exactly. Do I just
no,
Steve?
What are you talking about?
Well, having the ability to be like, okay, you know, if I want to convince someone to lead them into this question, I have to go through these other questions as well. I think it's an admirable skill set to have as a journalist. And so I do think it applies. I do believe, you know, we haven't had many journalists, at least journalists before they were on Survivor. I do believe Aubrey Bracco had worked in journalism before as well. And that's definitely a talent that she had as well, was, I think, negotiating those conversations. So, yeah, I mean, the thing is, if that's also coming with a threatening persona, I'm not sure how those conversations are going to go.
Yeah, maybe she was getting the scoop out of people in different ways. So, you know, much like, exactly. Like Mike, okay. The Cannibal Cat Lawyer is.
All right, sure. All right, yeah. please. I'll say whatever you want to. Please.
Tell you everything you need to know. No, I mean journalism is a different career, like waitressing is, where you get to know different types of people you wouldn't necessarily talk to, which is what Survivor is.
And not to mention, your entire career depends on the decisions of other people too, right? Like, it's their decision as to how much they tip you. It's those people's decision as to what they tell you for your story.
Yeah, I think that even in doing the podcast, which is obviously all based around, like, the one thing everyone has in common is they were on Survivor when I talk to people who played Survivor, but they're all very different, and I'm often really grateful to just get to talk to and interact with such different personalities and stories and people. And yeah, she could probably bring that to the game and be, like, really relishing getting to know different personality types, but using it in maybe a more clinical way as a journalist would have to do, because it is a professional appointment to interact with those people.
Are you an undercover blonde?
What?
So steers, Mike, with 20 interviews into this.
I'm sorry, I couldn't even steers it. I don't know what question I'm expecting. But asking if she was an undercover blonde is certainly not one of them.
I know, should I have cut it all out? Like, she ends up giving, like, she talks about herself and then the blonde thing comes up again and it felt relevant to the interview.
No. No, you gave me fair warning. It's just like when I warned you about Sean's F-bomb. Like, it still took me by surprise. Yeah. Even when I was prepared for it.
There'll be more to come. LaRue took me on a journey. And I have to say what he says. And I was trying.
No, I'm not actually a true blonde. I'm actually a brunette. So I decided to find out where the blondes do have more fun. Turns out they do.
Steers. Why
okay,
do we know
wait.
This?
No.
Why well, is this important?
So, well, my issue is, so usually when it's undercover blank, the blank is what you actually are, right? Like, undercover cop, you're not undercover as a cop.
Right, okay.
You're
well,
a cop that's undercover.
I have to go back to listen to what LaRue said. I was so shocked. Maybe I said it wrong. Maybe he said secret blonde. Now, he definitely said blonde, and she obviously is blonde. So I don't know. I don't think this one's on me.
So this would technically be an undercover brunette, actually, because yes. She's a brunette who's undercover.
Also, like, clearly LaRue knows that, you know, she's not blonde based on how leading the question was. I mean, actually, I was like, no, I'm just actually blonde. I was trying here. I was really...
No, I mean, no, and listen, to be full disclosure, like, we are so grateful for the producers for doing this. Sometimes it led us in directions. Like, with Paul, the thing about lighting his hair on fire did not come out of nowhere. Someone said, the person said, like, oh, yeah, talk to him about what you want to do with your dreads. Like, they definitely prompt... Listen, this is their job, so we absolutely understand it. I think it's fun to try to fit our own questions to this. But, yeah, it turns out that, I mean, listen, she's such a chameleon. She's willing to change her own hair color for the sake of the game.
Yeah, I couldn't just leave this as, like, an edited thing because it would have made no sense. So, and there's a few things in this interview, not to get too much ahead, that I definitely needed to give context to, and I'm laughing thinking about if I just hadn't. You'll see.
Which Survivor player are you most like?
That's a tough one. I got asked that before, and I think it's a combination of a few, because I've realized, having watched the game for so long and how the game, it's not like Monopoly that has defined rules and you kind of know how it's going to go because it's very set out. It's a board game. This is a game that evolves as people evolve. So it's changing as people learn different things. So I could never say, oh, I'm like, you know, this player. However, the players that I have resonated with now in my adult life more than anything is Ben, the way Ben played from the back, and nobody knew kind of where his alliances were from the start. And then I would say Wendell as well, because he was very much overlooked. I think he was from Ghost Island. And I think a little bit of Boston Rob, you know, that legacy of Boston. I like to think I am. I resonate with him as well. But now, having also watched a season of the Australian Survivor, the season 5, I think Moana as well is somebody I really resonate with, who kind of plays a quiet game.
What's yours? Okay, that went all over the place in such an interesting way.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, the edited version of Moana, I can see wanting to be like Mo Hope. Like, we got a lot of she was in the shadows pulling the strings. And yes. But then again, like, all of the other, like, you know who was in the shadows? Like, Boston Rob, Ben, Wendell.
Yes.
So it was kind of all over. I think there's definitely, like, a just string of strength through all of that.
Definitely, I think, a string of conviction. Like, I think all four of them are very confident. I think even just stop between Ben and Wendell, those are two completely different people. And also, I'd imagine that maybe her favorite streak of seasons were seasons 35 and 36 then.
Yeah. She says in her bio, her weakness, she says, is her motherly instinct. I tend to want to mother everyone, and this can sometimes cloud my judgment, which is very different to all of the people she said, not because 3/4 of them were men, but also because, as I said, like, when I think Ben, Wendell, Mo Hope, Boston Rob, like, can I take away, like, any one quality? And I guess you're saying conviction. I'm saying, yeah, that, like, sense of, not hardness, but, like, and again, they are all very different people. Wendell was, like, much more of the social player, but there is definitely, like, an alpha type strength to that. And then there's, like, the soft maternal thing. I don't know if she has kids. It's not mentioned in the interview or her bio, but, you know, she just talks about that motherly instinct, which can be difficult for players. But there's a softness to that that I'm not sure runs through maybe mostly Wendell in that kind of caring social game, but in the other three, I don't see it as much.
Yeah, remember that she's comparing herself to Moana Hope, who approached Nick after a good portion of the game and asked if he had a kid.
Yeah, I mean, she had just seen his loved one's video of his kid.
Yes, exactly.
Well, no, so she asked if he had a son.
Right, despite seeing the fact that he very clearly had a daughter in a video that they had just watched that day.
I mean, so like, I don't think that Warda knows that, because that was, like, a behind-the-scenes story that wasn't on the show. So that's what I'm saying, is, like, the version of Mo Hope that she saw might be different to things maybe we've heard, so that's what I'm taking it as. Like, I don't judge that at all.
I mean, for Moana, it could also be sort of what, you know, was talked about with Nicole Capper before, too, about, oh, what she was able to do, what she was able to pull off, is very inspiring as a woman as well. And so I could imagine that coming across too, with, like, what she was able to accomplish from the edited perspective.
Yeah, a lot there, a lot of different personalities, a lot to reference.
What do you desire in an alliance partner?
I think the most important thing is trust. I think that's the most important thing, and somebody that's consistent. Like with all my friendships, I want somebody I can trust and that is consistent.
What is your moral or ethical line in Survivor?
I am not sure where that line is. I don't think I'm going to kind of do a Johnny Fairplay situation where I'd lie about my grandmother being dead. I don't think I'd do anything like that.
Steers. No one is asking. Absolutely.
Nobody would ever do that again after Johnny Fairplay.
Yeah, no one could ever even talk about, even God forbid, a legitimate tragedy. No more talking about any mortality and grandmothers on Survivor ever again.
Yeah, exactly. So again, we're just like with Centini, we're not asking that of you, but good to know you're not full of Fairplay.
It's good to have that in the books. We know it now and we can move forward with that.
But I think that line is different to in the real world. And I think that's okay, because it's not the real world. It's a game. So, you know, I think that line would be very different to how I would be in the real world, because integrity is a big thing to me. But I don't think complete integrity is realistic when playing a game like Survivor.
Would you rather be voted out pre-merge or get no votes, like Dural at the final tribal council?
Well, me quietly judging LaRue for editorializing the question. I just don't know why he had to, like, give an example. Like,
I mean, I think it makes sense. So pointed.
Well, why, like, I, you know, because I know LaRue's list. I hope this was LaRue. Otherwise, I'm just, like, giving it a little bit to this random producer. It almost definitely was. And I feel like I can have the back and forth of LaRue a little bit. I just don't know why he had to. Have any of your producers given an example so far?
none of Dural.
Yeah, no, he said, he was like, would you rather be pre-merge, no example given, or get zero votes like Dural did? And I was like, well, that seems, like, imagine if Mike was editing this and not me, and he'd have to, you know, he'd have to hear that, and I think it's really, it just was unfair to Dural.
Yeah, I'd have to go cry in the corner for a little bit if I heard any slander against my sweet doo-doo.
I don't know, you earlier said Jean's not the goat that you think about in modern South Africa, it's Dural, so.
I love that goat. He's a goat that I love, a one that I want to take home and keep as a pet.
No, at this point I realized, after the blonde question, I was like, all right, I'm just going to go wherever LaRue takes me, and that's what, and
I'm
just
so happy. I think I want to play the question again, because I also think you really delivered the question well, and then I think you really delivered that distinct passive-aggressive tone against Dural.
I've like, been passive-aggressive in this whole question-asking segment.
Votes like Dural at the final tribal council.
God. Oh no, that's embarrassing. Well, hopefully that does not happen to me. I think I'm going to build up a good resume so that I have something to say and I'm not necessarily a designated coattail rider at that stage.
Steers. What will be the biggest component of your game?
But no, because in this would you rather, like, you are getting zero votes. So that, why was it so hard today?
In this scenario, you are specifically Dural, yeah, including getting zero votes.
Would you rather go pre-merge or be Dural? We asked the question that we asked.
I would be Dural. I would trade parts of my life to be Dural right now.
You also said you'd get zero votes, though.
I mean, yeah, I'd gladly get zero votes. That means I'd also want to be Dural, right? Like, give me all the bananas. Give me all the biltong I can shove in my mouth. Give me one fake idol to lose in the ocean and another fake idol that I'll immediately tell everybody is a fake idol.
I just can't believe we got some variation at least three times in these five interviews of, I wouldn't get no votes. It's like, no, but maybe you wouldn't, but in the situation that we've laid out, it's the scenario, oh my God, have these people never played Would You Rather before?
Maybe that's the thing. Maybe they haven't. Maybe they'll play it out on the island and they'll sort of all come together like, wait, did you answer that too?
Oh my God, that would be really fun. I've never even thought about them discussing that they might have answered these questions. That's so fun.
I did, when I did these for Survivor 39, I did ask the cast members afterwards, like, did you guys talk about how weird my soup question was? And they did say yes, that they indeed talked about that random guy asking me what soup am I. So maybe they did, but we're going to talk to them in exit interviews. Maybe we'll get some intel as to whether or not they talked about these weird ass questions from us.
I would love if they were just like, no, we were playing Survivor, we had bigger things to think about than what soup we were and how we'd been asked about that. But yeah, I mean, just the idea that we could have been spoken about, that makes me feel happy. Anyway.
Okay. Physical, social, strategic, or a combination?
I think it'll be a healthy combination of everything.
Because LaRue said, or a combination, and then she talks about the combination, which is obviously breaking the question, but it's not her fault because he,
several people have done this though, so like I don't fault anybody in this regard. Everyone, a lot of people have said, oh, it's going to be a mix.
No but what. That's not my point. My point is LaRue said, or someone who sounds very much like LaRue said, will it be one of the three or a combination? He led her to it. He didn't, you know, it's not her fault at all.
No, but let's hear this combination that she speaks so highly of.
I think the game has evolved in such a way that you can't put emphasis on any specific thing. You need to call on what is needed for that situation or where you are stuck in the game at that point.
What's the longest you've ever gone without food for?
Every year for about 30 days. Yeah, I fast the month of Ramadan, so I'm used to it. Yeah.
What's your
Steers? I mean, that's a really interesting life perspective. That's also a good answer to what's one life experience that'll prepare you for the game. I feast for Ramadan.
This is why I had to follow LaRue. He was getting more out of it, you know? So I had to ask it and get the answers. And yeah, this will come up again in the interview. Yeah, we're getting definitely some insight into who she is.
I get a feeling that she's a really like strong-willed individual.
Mm.
That's like getting through these interviews. And I think that's going to do well for her, maybe in the way that Centini and Teresa might not, in terms of like holding up in that initial tribal aspect of things. It might not portend great for her when it comes to the individual side of things, but she seems just like a very solid, strong presence, especially in those first couple of weeks where nobody knows what the hell they're doing.
Also, she's a fitness professional compared to the previous two women who said they think they won't be super physical. And I think that, you know, we can talk about the strategy, which we do for hours and hours about how this works, but like sometimes just helping in challenges is make or break. So she's got that going for her.
Yeah, when challenges guarantee you safety and there are people that are making sure you lose those challenges, like sometimes the easiest path is to vote them out. So unfortunately, as much gaming as we do, that still is a component of it. As much as she's talked about the game evolving over the course of all these years, that's one thing that definitely hasn't.
Yeah.
Favorite advantage in Survivor history?
Obviously, that's a tough one. I think the extra vote is a great one. And the one I just saw in the Australian one was the just shutting down the vote, the tribal council shutdown. I think that's brilliant. Yeah.
Steers. Okay, this is interesting. She's bringing out Harry's unused advantage, is it not?
Yeah, and I know that you loved it. I remember we did that podcast on it that week, and you were like, they should use this for every single non-elimination in Australian Survivor history, which I think we have talked through wouldn't necessarily work. But it is definitely one of the best non-eliminations they've had.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's also a fun thing that maybe unlike an Isle Nullifier can cause chaos, but in maybe less of a destructive way to an already existing twist in the game. So good on her for pulling deep and pulling that thing out. I mean, she's pulling out Mo Hope references and this. Like, she might be one of the biggest Australian Survivor fans we've talked to so far, even though Santini is such a David fangirl.
Everyone seems to have watched Australian Survivor All-Stars. How, like, did it really made its way over there? I mean, I guess it aired in the year between when they were meant to go on the show and when they did go on the show. I also would be consuming all the Survivor I could, so it makes sense.
No, it makes sense, right? You're like, okay, let me watch. Oh, what are the two most recent Survivor seasons? Oh, Australian Survivor All-Stars and Survivor Winners at War. Okay, I guess I'll watch these. Whoa, look at all the stuff that's going on. I want to play like Tony. I want to play like David.
And Mo Hope. There you go.
And Mo Hope.
What celebrity or fictional character would you want to come out as a loved one?
What celebrity? Oh, my word. If I had to have a loved one come, but not my family. Oh, that's a tough one.
Who's your celebrity crush?
International or local?
Yeah.
I'm trying my best. I'm trying really hard. It's just, it's gonna make sense if you just let the tape run.
If you wanted a sense as to what would have happened if we'd attempted to make it look like we were having conversations with him legitimately in the moment.
Yeah.
This is a sneak peek. This is what the tip of the iceberg right here.
What, so that would have gone really well and been really seamless? Thank you.
Exactly. Agreed. Like, wouldn't have stuck out whatsoever. All right, I'm going to scroll back a little bit. Just I'll play this exchange in full. I'll give it its due here.
It needs it. It really needs it.
I'd have a loved one come, but not my family. Oh, that's a tough one.
Who's your celebrity crush?
International or local?
Yeah.
Bear Grylls. Because that's smart. Like, who else? I don't think any Hollywood thing is going to help.
Bear Grylls.
Cheers. All right, so I am now three Bear Grylls.
I was wait. This is the redacted to my redacted. The Bear Grylls to the this question.
It's always Bear Grylls are a Marvel character. That's the default answer.
That's going to be the theme of the Brand Steel Marvel Bear Grylls.
With some other like miscellaneous people put on the Bear Grylls tribe because they didn't fit in anywhere else.
No, well, Food Man would go on it because it's also bagels.
Oh, that's true. Bear Grylls that, like, and slightly related to Bear Grylls. Like, oh, Dany, Daenerys Targaryen, was on a season with people from Bear Island, so she's therefore on the Bear Grylls tribe.
Honestly, it's going to work as a theme. And Bear Grylls is now, I think, pretty officially the poverty of this question. In that, you know, everyone is always, usually, like, most women are like, what survive you most? Like, they say poverty. Bear Grylls is now that classic answer for this question. And that's why I wanted to know as well, like, do we consider David an Iron Man equivalent? Because I want to know where we stood in Iron Ooh. Man versus Bear Grylls. Like, who wins out in this question? Iterations well, he of does, Iron Man, I should say.
I do feel like it's tough because David has done impressions of Iron Man, but I feel like David also does claws at certain points. So I feel like, and I feel like certain people might consider him a bear as well. So, like, is he on the Bear Grylls tribe then?
I would put him on Marvel for the reasons you've said. Really good points made. Mm-hmm. Really, really valid points. I'm trying to cast the rest of the Brad Steele into Bear Grylls versus Marvel. Like, where would Sean's dogs go?
Ooh, Sean's dogs go into Bear Grylls. I think they're dogs. They're
dogs are like bears. And the
dogs are like bears, of course. Fact, everybody knows it. So definitely closer to that than to Marvel.
I don't know. Are there no dogs in Marvel?
Not at the moment. There are no real big dog superheroes.
I'm really excited.
But I think Goku is closer to Marvel than he is to Bear Grylls.
No, definitely. That goes without saying. I'm excited for this Brand Steel. I think it's going to be great. And these are definitely the two tribes. And also, that's why I kept in, like, I clearly could have edited when he was struggling with it, and he was like, who's your celebrity crush? And, like, I don't think it was based on it, but the fact that he asked that and then she said Bear Grylls, like, she definitely did say it because Bear Grylls would be a helpful loved one, but it's just, like, it coming off a celebrity crush I thought was really funny. And I loved all, it was 1 a.m, I was editing it, and I was like, I cannot wait until Mikey is
I love your conviction in your Shannon. Like, I feel it so hard. Like, exactly.
But that's exactly how LaRue did it. I mimicked him perfectly. The amount of effort I put into this. Also, it doesn't it's stop incredible. Here. It is going to get better.
All right. Let's keep digging into Bear Grylls.
Mm-hmm. This is going to help me. So Bear Grylls.
What food would you sit out of an immunity challenge for?
I've actually thought about this a lot, and I'm no, like I said, I'm no stranger to being hungry and to making the decision to be hungry. I think my end game is not to eat. There's going to be plenty of time to eat after 39 days. I would be more focused on the game. I wouldn't sit out for anything.
If you could have,
I would totally expect her to not sit out though. I know we talked about this with someone else as well, but I could very much see her be like, nope, I'm good. I'm going to keep going, considering her previous life experience.
Look, it's been an interesting learning experience for me to send through the questions. I've never done anything like this before. This question was a huge fail and will be reconsidered going forward because everyone, like, you do a brand seal of people who said they'd eat and people who said they wouldn't, and that was not the question. But I agree. You said conviction was, like, the main thing. I'm like, can you guess if she's going to choose to sit out for a food?
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting, though, because I think we're obviously going to get this challenge coming up in the season. And so now we get to see people put their money where their mouth is.
I will absolutely go back and check. Well, to be fair, though, we said, what would you sit out for? Like, they might not bring out that specific food. So if they keep in the game, that makes sense. If they sit out and they said they wouldn't, though, we will have the receipts and we will be petty about it. We will.
Exactly.
I also think, like, in terms of my questions, I was going to say this. The producer who had Santini, we're really going inside Shmogen Brawl today. They said, what Survivor player are you most like or most relate to? And then I feel like her answer, it was more like a subjective thing. I think by being so, like, straight line objective on are you most like, people want to get that, like, the right answer. Whereas, like, maybe if we make it, like, most relate to, it's like there is no right answer. Like, who do you just kind of get a vibe from? So that's something I might also workshop and reconsider in the future. Thinking out
Listen,
loud.
Words make a difference in so many ways, as these people are about to find out. So, yeah, hopefully if we are so lucky as to be granted the opportunity to do this in the future, I like, you know, us learning as well. Just like we talked about, you know, you learn from your maybe experiences that don't go so well. You use them as a learning experience and you move forward.
Wait, you think we're going to get to do this in the future when I've just absolutely blasted LaRue, the executive producer, for his interviewing style and how I was trying to manage it for the last several minutes? It's over, Mike. Just enjoy what we have right now.
To quote an over-exuberant Shannon, yeah.
I like this.
I might have to clip that out and use it for the soundboard later on.
Superpower, what would it be and why?
I think to speak any language in the world, that would be a superpower for me. I'd love to speak multiple languages. Yeah.
How many
years? Wow, that's another one off the board that I never thought of before.
Now we can officially say that no one said freezing or being left-handed, just two that somehow went unchosen. Questions on that. Like, if you could read minds, could you understand them in different languages if they were, like, thinking
in their
primary language? Because that then would, I feel like that would encompass it.
I mean, could it be, like, the universal translator from Star Trek, right? That, like, you just assume that any language you hear automatically gets translated into your language of choice. Or, yeah, is that sort of like a monkey's paw situation of you can read minds, but guess how many people around the world don't speak your language?
I mean, guess how many people in Survivor South Africa don't speak your primary language and wouldn't be thinking about that? I mean, you might be able to speak a few languages. I mean, I guess that's a superpower. So wait, no. Yeah. Okay, you can read minds, but you can only speak one language. A lot of people in Survivor South Africa would not be thinking in that language. So it would be good to be able to speak lots of different languages. That would be almost as good as reading minds.
Could that be the next would you rather? Would you rather you could read minds, or you could, but you could only understand one language, or you can speak all languages but can't read minds?
No, because then I feel like everyone would be like, no, but I can speak lots of languages. It's like, yes, but in this situation of a would you rather, in the scenario we have put out for you, oh my God, I just can't. I'm so glad we're done with that question.
Well, we have 1 minute left. Let's hear the last couple of questions.
Oh, it's going to be good.
Oh, no.
What languages can you speak?
English, Afrikaans, and a little bit of French. So 3, 2.5.
Introduce yourself in French.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Warda Hartley. J'habite en Afrique du Sud, à Johannesburg.
On your last day before...
I told you it would be good. I waited 2.5 hours to ask Warda to introduce herself in French. I've waited.
It's the energy. The energy behind the question.
Oh, I'm passive aggressive. That's how I'm doing it.
Oh, introduce yourself in French. Come on.
No, but also, because we said, I was like, I could have just edited it in, but then I was thinking, that's why I was laughing at things that would be out of context. Imagine if I didn't ask that and I was like, what superpower would you like? I'd like to speak a lot of languages. I currently speak 2.5 languages. Now I'm introducing myself in French for some reason. Context.
No, I think what you should have done is you should have cut the French introduction and put it in instead of the first question for her. Introduce yourself like, oh, je m'appelle Verda.
You would have been confused. You would have been.
That's amazing.
I hope it lived up to the hype. I've just been waiting for the. Yeah.
It did.
Thank you, LaRue.
I'm on cloud 9 right now. cloud 9 or whatever it is in French. Oh my God. Oh my goodness.
Before the game, what's going through your mind?
The clock is ticking. I will meditate, pray, make sure I have enough carbs and protein. Put some purple shampoo in my hair so my hair looks amazing, my blonde. Enjoy my bed, go to bed early, and yeah, just get ready. Make a list of everything I've learned from all my years of watching Survivor, a list of do's and don'ts and what I've learned, and make sure that's right in my head. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, Shannon and Mike. It's been awesome talking to you guys about one of the greatest games in the world.
Great to talk to you. Really enjoyed our chat. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Warda.
Yeah. What's with the purple shampoo? You know hair.
What? No, you use purple shampoo to keep your blonde bright. That's why I had to keep the blonde question in, because then it came back. And the Ramadan thing came back. It was all, I mean, not the French thing. That really stood on its own, but I kept it in anyway. Like, it all tied in, and I just left it all for you guys, and I hope that you enjoyed it.
Oh, I absolutely enjoyed it 100%. I'm just so intrigued by the is it specifically like purple colored shampoo?
Yeah.
Brings out your blonde more?
Yes, I should know the technicalities of this more considering how much time I spend writing about it. But yeah, it's literally purple and it keeps your blonde toned and on point.
Oh, look at this. All right. My son is blonde, so maybe I'll have to get him some purple shampoo once he gets up in years.
I wonder if it's for natural blondes or for like colored blondes only.
Or undercover blondes.
This is something I should know. Like, oh my God. I'm the editor of a hair magazine. I can't tell you that. I shouldn't know as much about blonde shampoo as I do about yachts, aka nothing.
Let's I guess finish things off on that note by asking ourselves some questions about Warda. I like I said before, I have good hopes for her in the first half of the game. Like, yes, that intimidation might be a double-edged sword, but I just feel like with the people that are in this game, like they're going to be fine working with her, especially because it does seem like she's enough of a fan that she has a mind for this game that knows, like, as intimidating as I may come across, I know when to keep my mouth shut and keep my head down. And so I think she's going to be long for this game. I think I have her at least making the merge.
Mm.
I think the question is when we get to that point is does everyone just snap their heads to her and say, oh, yeah, this is the biggest physical presence left. We have to get rid of her ASAP.
Yeah, she's definitely good for the first half of the game. She says her strategy is to get to know as many people as she can and form as many connections as possible. I decided long before stepping into the game that I would have to put myself in a role in the tribe that would make me valuable to them, she says. So I think that speaks to what you're saying. We talked about the journalism thing. She also adds to that, after having been a journalist for 20 years, she developed the ability to quickly connect and build trust with virtually anyone she meets. I wanted to put myself in an environment where I could put all these valuable life lessons to the test, and Survivor South Africa is my masterclass. So, look, on paper, those are two pretty phenomenal jobs as a slashy, like fitness professional, so you'll definitely have time to work your magic because no one's getting rid of you early. And then journalist, which is like purely social and in ways strategic and talking to people and a human to human job. Put those together, that might be the best slashy combination you can get for the show.
Yeah, it's a really good winning combination because you have the physical aspects of the game, but you also have the strategic and specifically communicative skills. And again, Survivor is all about communication. So I think she's got the goods, but you know, like we talked about, only so much can be on paper when it comes to Survivor. Oftentimes when these people get thrown together and all this stuff happens, your best laid plans might completely, you know, get wrecked. Mm-hmm. And so I have high hopes at the moment. She's got a lot of like the good stuff we want to see in a player, but we might see her fall early on and we might see others that we have said, like Sean, we might say will be fun, but might not last long, make it all the way to the end and end up completely subverting our expectations. So I guess that is to say, at the end of all of this, This was so much fun to get to know these contestants.
We know nothing.
And I'm so excited to like be completely incorrect about each and everything I predicted about them based on what we heard from them.
Yep, over 10 hours into this exercise, this has been meaningless. We know nothing. We're going in as fresh as anyone who hasn't listened to this. You've all wasted your time. That's what we're trying to say. No, I mean, I think we definitely have a really good sense of, at least, I mean, we're talking to them, or we were talking to them 24 hours before the game. We have an idea of their mindset. We have an idea of a lot of their stories that we might not have otherwise known, or if they're going to come out on the show. I think some personalities pretty much from everyone really did shine through. So I've just loved getting to, you know, get these interviews, get these answers, quote unquote, talk to these players. Thank you for the opportunity, LaRue. Sorry for Absolutely. All of the things. Sorry for impersonating your, yeah. You know, I think we worked together on that interview and it was a great collaboration, but this has been so fun and I love the cast.
This was a great way to get to know people. Well, we're so happy to be afforded the opportunity. And I guess we will do what these five contestants did to us at the end of the interview and thank these 20 people as well for being so open, for answering all of our stupid questions that we threw at them,
that
no matter
hated.
How silly they may be. We appreciate it. You know, you're in a weird headspace, as we mentioned many times, to 24 hours before you're about to begin a journey that's going to give you a million rand. At the end of the day, it can be stressful. Hopefully we served as some sort of respite or an opportunity for you to collect your thoughts going in. But I can say I'm happy for each and every one of these people to be entering the game of Survivor this season. And now we just have to wait to see the damn thing happen, Shannon.
Yeah, as we would say, thank you guys so much for being on the show. It's been really great to talk to you and hope to talk to you again soon. That's how I would do my little sum up like they did. It's been great. It's a great cast. It's a really fun group. There's a lot of different personalities. There's a lot of great stories. As we've said, we understand the casting pretty much across the board here. So I'm pumped up. We're at the end of this four-part journey, this little series we've done, which I've loved so much, but more preseason stuff to come. And then the season itself.
Yeah. So we've got a couple things in the hopper. The thing you're going to listen to next, I'm not sure when in terms of the schedule, maybe in like a week's time.
A week-ish.
We're going to be doing what has become a preseason staple here on RHAP. We're going to do Issa Look with our dear friend Bryce Isaiah from Survivor Cagayan, in which Bryce comes in having no idea who any of these people are. He's just going to look at their cast photos, which we have mentioned a lot on this podcast, and give his own assessments of who they are. Bryce is always a riot on these things. So I know we got very deep into these contestants over the course of this podcast, but we're going to take a completely different take from Bryce with these 20 people in our next podcast. And then I think hopefully we'll try to get one more in there. I think by the time we do the Issa Look podcast with Bryce, we should be able to announce whether or not that final podcast is happening. But we're only a couple of weeks away from the season premiering, and then we are off to the races.
Very exciting stuff. Always love to chat to Bryce. That's going to be on video, and it will definitely be a good time. I can say that now before it's even been recorded. So that'll be super fun. But until then, Mike, tell us about your podcasting.
Oh, am I talking with you or am I talking to a pre-recorded you? I can't even tell. Well, speaking of video, I should also mention that I do believe at this moment, all of the podcasts, all four of the cast previews are on the YouTube channel for Rob Has a Podcast. So if for
or they
whatever
will
reason,
be soon.
Yeah. If you want to listen back to the assessments, or if you want the pictures alongside the people that we're talking about, I believe that visual component will be added. Go to robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. You can check that out along with Issa Look, which is coming. But other than that, just got the usual stuff over on Post Show Recaps, Down the Hatch, the Bloom Files. And then I believe on RHAP, if everything is calculated out right in my head, we should have either just done or will be doing a version of Outwit, Outplay, Outlist, a series where Rob Cesternino and I arbitrarily and reductively rank random categories in the Survivor base. And this time we are talking Survivor GIFs, GIFs, however the hell you want to pronounce them, Survivor moving images. A lot of Survivor GIFs have broken out into the mainstream. We're going to take a look at what is some of the best and most applicable in and out of talking about the greatest game on earth.
You should probably get a hard answer on GIF or GIF before you go into the podcast, because I can just imagine.
I'm going to keep alternating between either one, so therefore I satisfy no one.
People will love that. People will.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're at the end of this. Follow us at AmyBloomType, at Shannon Gates. Subscribe to the International Survivor Hap-Ups feed. If you've enjoyed this, you can always, you know, tell your friends about it, review it, anything that kind of gets it out there before the season starts. I hope that you guys have enjoyed the series. Mike, I've loved doing this. I've had the best time, clearly. I shouldn't cry. I've laughed multiple times. It's just such a short amount of podcast, but I've had so much fun. It's been like one of my favorite series to do.
This was so great. I loved talking with the contestants. I loved talking with you while talking about the contestants. I'm so happy that we're going to have so many wonderful guests over the course of the season, but it was good to start things out, I think, with just you and I getting to really take a deep dive and also goof on some of these answers and some of our life experiences as well. I'm really looking forward to 4+ more months of this, truly.
Yeah, and if you guys do enjoy us riffing on random stuff and talking for too long, we did also just cover Survivor South Africa Champions, if anyone missed that. It was a spoiler-free retrospective. Yeah, we did that. It was pretty recent. We did it this year. So if anyone wants to watch along with that and listen to us on that, we'll definitely have some contestants as guests for the recaps of this season. So that's something you can check out if you're looking for some content. But yeah, I know this has been an extremely fun time. Thank you so much, Mike, for doing this with me. I think I've said it a lot. I've had fun.
So much fun. Unlike those poor whales as they're watching the anchors drop.
I was just thinking about that. It was actually, it's still going to be part of my sign off, because I think it's important that we, you give voice to it. It's important to get it out there. But thank you guys so much for listening. I hope that you've enjoyed it. I hope you've had half as much fun as we did. Thank you to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Thank you to LaRue and production for letting us do this and being good sports. Thank you to the contestants for your great interviews and being good sports, although we haven't heard from Mike yet after all the Cannibal Cat lawyer talk. And honestly, it makes me concerned. But thank you guys so much. Thank you for listening. Save the whales from the anchors. And as always, keep evolving. Bye.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor.
Losers.
21 South Africans.
12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Give me the
swimmer.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million shekel.
Million rubli.
Tribe spoke.
Tribe spoke.
Tribe spoke.
Tribe spoke.